Blog Talk Radio.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food. But he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, the master said, "We got a good house here." The house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away. Let's escape. Let's separate," the house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. Modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, "I'm the only Negro out here." "I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You're nothing but a house Negro." And if someone come to you right now and say, "Let's separate," you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. "What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa." That's what you say. "Why, you left your mind in Africa." The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. Masters are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind.
Just as the slave master in that day, you come, the house Negro, to keep the field Negro in check. The same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful. In nonviolence. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is gonna take your tooth. You're gonna fight him when he starts talking. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there and curse, you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. There's nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Quran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send them to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that old time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one resents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meal. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf and you a sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man, and at the same time teachers don't fight the white man, he's a traitor to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be even Stephen.
Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. What the fuck is that? Okay. Yeah, I was trying to get that Donald Sterling clip downloaded, but it won't work. Shit. Because I wanted to go ahead and set the tone for this. Because the Donald Sterling interview, and he's saying he's not a racist. He apologizes. He's pretending to cry. Then as you look close to the video, he's like, what the hell is on his eyes? On his cheeks? His fucking hard skin or something? But anyway, that's pretty much not what I'm... But that clip bothers me. The thing that bothers me was so many people want to go ahead and overlook what was said in the video, what was said in that interview. Something he said needs to be addressed and keep on being addressed, because I'm not one to support poverty pimps. I'm not one to support Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, NAACP, any other motherfucker that's out here going ahead speaking on our behalf. I'm not one to support none of that shit. I think they need to be dealt with. They need to be challenged. You need to go ahead and confront them and see, where the hell is that money? You're supposed to be speaking out on our behalf, but you seem to be doing well. So I want to do well, motherfucker. You going to go ahead and talk about what's going on in the black community and all this other nonsense? And I don't think we have a community, because to me, to have a community means you have a bunch of individuals who have like minds. So we don't have that. But these fuckers go in here speaking out on our behalf. And Magic Johnson, this dude just called Magic Johnson out. And the media, the mainstream media here, just seems to go ahead and gloss over that point. I haven't heard not one of these fuckers go ahead and mention anything about what was said and anyone addressed it. Everyone seemed to go ahead and address this thing about him talking about Magic Johnson and AIDS and some old homo stuff, you know, and that's sickening. I'm trying to equate what's going on with homos with my struggles. For me, that ain't happening. I'm not sure when we're going to go ahead and recognize that we got a whole lot of people against us, but we got a whole lot of enemies from within. We need to address them, especially when they go ahead pocketing the money, when a whole lot of young people are going ahead dying out here. And it's a little bit more, it's not complicated. This situation is a lot easier to fix. Put that money into the hood like you're doing. I had a conversation at work today with a few brothers at work. And I disagree with the defense of people like Magic Johnson. I mean, I don't agree with none of this stuff that anybody says they made it on their own. I totally disagree with that 100%. You can't make it on your own. You need some help somewhere, so on and so, blah, blah. But Magic Johnson had his theaters here. Where the hell are they? I heard that the brother was trying to tell me that Halo 1 was still up and running. But I don't think that black people own them. And I don't think that we own them. And I think Magic Johnson was more of a puppet to go ahead and push a lot of Hollywood-type films. You own the theater, but hey, you didn't sign the contract to go ahead and only play a certain type of film. He's not going ahead and playing nothing from the independent movie makers. He's not playing anything from Nollywood out of Nigeria. You know, I've even seen movies and plays and things of that sort coming out of the Caribbean and Brazil. dealing with the issues that's going on. So I know damn well he ain't for the hood. He ain't for us. He ain't for the community. So I was hoping that brother call in. I'm waiting on him. There's a few more questions, and I wish I could get that clip downloaded so you can go ahead and understand where I'm coming from and tear that shit off. Because it's nonsense. It's just like a conversation I had with an individual a few months ago prior to it coming out, just weeks before it came out, about Al Sharpton and him working with the FBI, and I didn't even read all the stuff. Come on, how blind can you be? You know he was doing that all along. That's how he got so far. That's why he changed his tone. Because if you go here and know anything about the history of Al Sharpton, the shit he say now, the stuff he support now, really wasn't, he was not supportive of that stuff years ago when he first came on the scene. And it ain't hard to go ahead and look. Fix News, Fox News, they were coming at Al Sharpton, and they were playing some of the clips from when he was talking about how white men came out of caves and that sort. But you ain't gonna hear him talk like that now. You ain't gonna hear none of them say that. All of them individuals want black people to go ahead and get along, you know, turn your back to what's going on. Read your Bible and go ahead and accept this nonsense behavior. Damn. It seems like it just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. It has to stop. And we must start to confront these people, because they pocketing money, talking about our pain, and profiting off the pain of our people. So I just don't think that's going to stop. We must pound this message into the ground. Push them motherfuckers aside. Do what we got to do. Build our nation, to build our people, and to be something. If Magic Johnson really and truly, I didn't hear, Magic Johnson really and truly was about going ahead and dealing with his own people, just like Donald Sterling asked. Donald Sterling asked him. Well, he told Anderson Cooper that, what has he done for, you know, what has Magic Johnson done for his people? And then the interview was kind of bizarre, because he kept talking about this girl and this other stuff and pretending to cry. But that is a point that needs to be brought out. What has Magic Johnson done for his people? What can you go ahead and show me right now? He's uplifted a group of people. Can you go ahead and show me that he went to the neighborhood and went and took a block, one city block, and go ahead and change them around? You don't even have to go ahead and put a lot of money into this. But the bigger thing is, he can get a bigger return on this type of investment. They don't give a shit about these kids killing kids. They don't even give a damn about where they get the weapons from. What makes me mad is, hey, look, they look in the mirror and they don't see that they are part of black America, of the African on the planet at all. It's just mind-boggling when you go ahead and you see how many people who are really quick to make a buck off our backs, our own people, quick to go ahead and sell you that brown sugar, that heroin, that white powder, cocaine, rock it up, cook it, make it rocks, sell it to your own people. You know, I was saying a while back, you know, people were all pissed off about Trayvon. You know, what are you going to do now? That was my thing. What are you going to do now? And I kept saying, hey, look, people like George Zimmerman and this other bastard that killed that other young boy, Jordan, and then all the other stuff, they killing us because we killing us. Magic Johnson is part of they killing us. See, if we had that economic clout, we'd have financial clout. We'd have political clout. We don't have those. We have a bunch of people that's really ready and quick to exploit black folks because they know black people go ahead and contribute close to $1 trillion in this economy, and they ain't gonna, most of them ain't gonna say shit to go ahead and change it. This could, oh, well, that's the way it's always been. No, that's bullshit. That ain't the way it's always been. That ain't reality. You're living in another person's reality. Something that was made up. This was a plan designed years ago, and they just keep on improving the plan with all of these silly laws and all that other stuff. And it's mind-boggling that a lot of people don't see it. You need to fucking wake up. Ain't nobody coming to save you. Shit's gonna go ahead and get a lot worse. You got Russell Simmons with his credit card. And I remember him being confronted by a guy on Fox News when he was talking, he'd be interviewed by a guy on Fox News. They were like on the street, and Russell Simmons was asked, you know, what are you doing to help black folks? And I just don't understand why that is such a hard question for these people who came from these areas. You always boast about coming from these areas, but you don't want to get back. Or then you go ahead and say, well, you don't know what I'm doing. I'm contributing such and such and so and so. You know, fuck that. Don't go ahead and say no shit like that if you're really doing something. You ain't really doing nothing. You stand up and be proud to go ahead and give to your people. Most black entertainers are not. Most people who go ahead and get rich in the hood are not. They don't give a damn. This guy was, Russell Simmons was trying to attack the person asking him questions and tell him pretty much, well, you don't know what I've done. I've done so much. Please, man, please, somebody go ahead and give me that list of stuff he done, because whatever he done, it ain't working. Anybody want to go ahead and defend Magic Johnson? That shit ain't working. Magic Johnson walked away with money, even though the theater's fucking closed and whatever. Some, you know, brother was trying to tell me that Magic Johnson had created some damn stores or something. I mean, look, I don't see it. If you gonna come to the hood, you can just like back to the theater. Every aspect of that fucking theater, everything to go ahead and keep that theater afloat and running should have been black owned. Your money would have flipped so many damn times. You could have go ahead and just make a lot more cash. But instead, you make a quick buck. Run on in. Put your bullshit and your nonsense. And run on out. That theater that Magic Johnson had, these theaters that he created over here in Chicago, the one in particular comes to mind, and every store around it should have been black owned. Everything in the damn theater should have been black on. You should have given the carpet, the seats, the projection screen, every fucking thing should have came from somewhere from blacks to go ahead and prosper, to get out of this situation that we in. Nobody has made it on their own. Magic Johnson came from a rough fucking Flint, Michigan. Now, if he really gave a fuck about black folks, that would have been for him where he should have started. Back to Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling said, hey, Jews, when they make money, they give back to other Jews. That means something. That means that we got niggas that's out here going ahead being poverty pimps. And we got a whole bunch of them ready to step in line and go ahead and fill them shoes to be the next poverty pimp. Anytime you go ahead and you want to go ahead and defend these kind of fuckers, that means that you don't give a shit about your own people. So I say fuck them. I think boycotts would work, but it has to be done strategically. And it has to be done to get some real results. Anything that these goddamn people go ahead and work and fucking with, we need to stay the hell away from. I saw a brief couple of lines from Larry Johnson talking about we need to go ahead and have our own basketball league. Because when I saw part of the game and I saw what those guys did on the Clippers, you know, he came with their jerseys twisted inside out and some bullshit. And come on, you look ridiculous. The way to go here, really, you should have protested, like, hey, fuck this, I ain't playing this game. Ain't none in your contract tell you that you got to go ahead and take that kind of abuse from the motherfucker. If he thinks that way, then he gonna treat you that way. So Donald Sterling, what he said, I don't think it's no unique thing. It was just somebody go ahead and record and put it out. I think every last one of these whites that own these teams or these businesses, all of them feel that same fucking way. Because it shows in their attitude, their marketing, whatever they fucking do. Their products are not geared up to go ahead and do anything really for you to help you financially. It's to go ahead, advertising is like this. It's to make you fall in love with a product and make you need it. It's real simple. And I heard someone, I heard this sister say this the other day. She took her TV and she just turned it off. She just turned off her TV. Don't watch the TV. She ain't watched TV in about 3-4 months. She did that, and she said that, hey, look, she became more aware of what's going on because she started reading more. Shit. How you gonna get black folks to read? That's a battle in itself. It's a book to a lot of black folks. It's like Kryptonite to Superman. Niggas ain't gonna fucking pick up no books. It's fucked up. Real messed up. I'll be right back.
I cherish every moment that you're around. I might not show it 'cause I can't find words to say. I try to say I love you, but I get tongue-tied. I stuck to the easy word and failing it. I wish you would stay longer.
Don't
feel
it.
More time. Put a saying on me, world, I want you right to know my life. Make it glisten like
light.
Wow. Well, don't up, girl. Bring the pillow to my castle. The mistress to my world. Light an open knife, can you no shine, shine, girl? I want you. Open your knife and give me full control.
Together to lose your wonder, such a way. I wish you would stay long.
without you. Hey. Thought everything would be fine. Saw nothing special about you, but still you were plaguing my mind. I used to take you for granted. You were the last name in my life. Presently you're the most wanted at the top of my line. And it was yesterday when I saw you down the lane. You and my best friend.
So me lullaby, fresh sweet orange juice, and me eggs well fried, garments well clean, from me socks to me tie. She's a friend, also a lover, that mean me not be shy. Be express myself straight up to the sky. Yo, ooh, say that big man don't cry. You never miss the water till you well run dry. Me say, ooh, say that big man don't cry.
Now I'm falling in love all over again.
It's only natural. Woman, if you lean pan, through me ignorance, me never understand. I'm going to take time out to show me love motion. I make you know we can't stop, can't respond. I am the greatest lover boy in on the island. More time you slip, but more time you go around. Hear me out, woman, I beg you understand. Even the wisest man, the great King Solomon, take with him, take it and get a wrong back. That's how him lose him throat in the great Babylon. So me say, oh, say that big man don't cry. I learned the hard way, woman, don't ask me why. Yo, oh, say that big man don't cry. Come bury him and come tell the world why.
Now I'm falling in love all over again.
Okay, welcome back. Here, let me read some of this. Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling says he's sorry but feels he was baited to making racist comments nearly 2 weeks after the NBA fined him and banned him for life for his remarks in a recorded conversation. When I listened to the tape, Donald Sterling is saying, when I listened to the tape, I don't even know how I can say say words like that. I don't know why that girl had me say those things. You don't know why, you don't know, that part I don't get, I don't understand that. She made this 80-year-old man say these words. That, and this dude ain't no, he's sharp, he ain't nothing wrong with him. He don't have dementia and all that shit. I mean, he's a billionaire, real estate investor, lawyer. And I don't get it. He also feels, you know, Anderson Cooper had asked him, was he baited? And he said, yes, you know, he felt he was set up. I was baited, said Sterling. I mean, this was not the way I talk. I don't talk about people for one thing ever. I talk about ideas and other things. I talk about people. I don't talk about people. He talked about people. He talked about people. I mean, and the part that really bugs me is when they first started showing that interview from Anderson Cooper and Donald Sterling, the first thing that they took from that, the news media again, was Magic Johnson having HIV and And that's the only thing they went on and on and on about. Nothing, they said nothing, absolutely nothing about the thing that Donald Sterling said. Hey, look, Jews, when they make money, they go come back and help their people. That's disturbing. And black folks ain't even picking up on that. I see a lot of black people ain't even picking up on that. So your line open. Okay. 832-640. The line is open. I'll leave it open. I'm gonna read some more of this. You know, Donald Cooper is saying, hey, I'm not a racist. I made a terrible mistake. And I'm here today to apologize, to ask for forgiveness for all those that I've hurt. That simply means I don't want you niggas to be upset with me. I still need your money and support. Yeah, you know, I'm reading something here. Donald Sterling has put the black and Jewish relationship back 50 years. That's correct. That's true. I mean, not that he really, I mean, you think about it, they didn't really have a, if you go ahead and pay attention to it, Jews were really exploiting black folks. They were using them to further part of their cause. These people ain't stupid. I mean, they know what's going on. They didn't really give a damn. This dude, Donald Sterling, didn't really give a shit, man. He shows, not only for me, what I see, not only did he show how he felt, because he was by himself, but he showed that this was acceptable, and that's what I go ahead and gather from a lot of this stuff here. Let me read this other thing. This black girl. Oh, yeah. He thought, and then in the interview, he would say, hey, I thought she liked me. Dude, I don't know what them things are, but if y'all have seen the pictures of Donna Sterling, he's like, man, what is that under your eyebrows, man? What the fuck is that? What is that? I mean, I don't know, it's like big skin or what the hell, but it's something going on there. And how could this young, fine, beautiful thing want to go ahead and find your ass attractive? She liked your money. Keep it real. She liked your money. She really didn't give a damn about you. You can tell she was a gold digger. She's a hoochie. So and blah blah blah. But let me read this. I don't know. An 80-year-old man is kind of foolish. I'm kind of a foolish. I thought she liked me and really cared for me, he said, and I guess being 51 years older than she, I was deluding myself. I just wish I could ask her why and if she was just setting me up. Dude, yeah, she was setting you up, man. She just wants your money, but she probably got tired of you saying all that old nonsense. She got sick of you saying all that old nonsense. I mean, she probably heard it a bunch of times. People don't just go ahead and do that after one damn time. She probably got real sick of hearing that shit. B.A., your line is open. How you doing, brother?
Good evening, brother. Thank you. Thank you for picking me up. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Two books I want to mention. J.A. Rogers' seminal work called Race and Sex. and the Nation of Islam, Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Book 2.
Mm.
That's all this is. This is playing out. So this is what this is all about.
Really?
Sterling had a fetish. Well, no, I'm going to call it. He had a real, real strong desire for black women. They had the pimp on, I'm going to call him a pimp. The guy, Maserati Met, that's what he's a rapper who ran an escort agency. And he was hooking Sterling up with light-skinned black women. Okay,
really?
That was his. Oh, yeah, you should have seen it. Oh, yeah, he was saying.
That part, man. I missed that part.
Yeah, you should see. Don Lemon asked him, so what type of women did Sterling like? He said, Sterling liked the light skin. He said, so by light skin, you don't mean white. He said, no, I mean light skin black, minority women. That's what he wanted. And he felt a sense of insecurity because Elgin Baylor.
So this girl's a hooker?
Say it again?
This girl's a hooker?
No. That's a different. No, he and this guy who ran the pimp who ran the escort service, they go back years, all right? He just happened to meet. See, this is the deal. Word gets out, okay? What's the word I'm looking for? It's an undercurrent in the NBA. The chicks know what guys like. Everybody in the NBA knew that Don Sterling liked light-skinned black women, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stefiano, whatever her name is, she hooked up with Sterling at the Super Bowl. Now, she know going into it, he's 50 years older than her.
Mm-hmm.
This chick know what he like.
Mm-hmm.
He know what he, you know, he a sugar daddy. She was playing on him, man. You know, she got $1 million in cars and a $1.3 million condo, townhouse, whatever. You know, she was his top assistant with no qualifications. What is this? It was all about, you know, the sex thing. Don was working, Don Sterling was working with, out of Las Vegas, dude was running escort service, was supplying women to Sterling. I mean, you 65, 70, 80 years old, it ain't like you can go out to the club and pick you up a 20, 25-year-old light-skinned chick.
Well, he owned the club, so he could probably go ahead and point out what he wanted. But
that's what he did, Rob. He went to his boy and said, I want her. So he had a well, Elgin Baylor, who worked with him as his head of basketball operations for the Clippers for 23 years. Elgin said Don Sterling would invite female guests into the Clippers locker room while the players were taking a shower, and he would admire the black players' bodies.
Really?
With the women, okay? Now, if that ain't some real weird, kinky shit, I don't know what it is.
Mm.
You know, he would bring them in, and they would observe them taking a shower and everything. See, he had a little envy. But my point is getting to Magic Johnson. That's the issue with Magic. See, he didn't like the fact that Magic was getting a lot of ass. Like he said, he having sex with women in every city. What type of role model is that? He got AIDS. And when he saw his girl, Stiviano, taking photographs on Instagram with Magic, I mean, he just had it. Here you go, he's trying to buy my team, now he's trying to fuck my girl. I mean, you know, he couldn't take it. You know, black guys get all the fun. He's buying my team and he's fucking my girl now. And he got HIV. Oh, shit.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He went crazy, man.
He lost his damn mind. You know,
that's what happened, man.
Yeah, that's what
happened, man.
That penis envy thing, huh?
Right. That's all this is. That's all this is.
But his point, one thing that he said in that interview, he was questioning what has Magic Johnson done for his people? He said when Jews make money, that kid, they go ahead and they get their people. Magic Johnson is, go ahead.
Well, Rob, the question is, who is he to question what Magic doing for black folk? That's some arrogant shit right there. That's really, like you said, a paternalistic plantation mentality. Who are you to question what somebody has to do for their people? I can't fathom me going up and saying, you know, what an Italian businessman is doing for the Italians. I don't even know how to say that. They don't even concern me. So he must have felt a certain kinship with black folk that he can go on and speak for us and say Magic ain't doing nothing for us. I mean, what type of hubris does it take?
Well, I think part of it comes from the media that he partially owns. He got some media shit going on. But let me read this. It's, if I said anything wrong, I'm sorry. Sterling said he's a good person. He's talking about Magic Johnson. He's a good person. I mean, what has he done? I mean, what I'm going to say, has he done everything he can do to help minorities? I don't think so, but I'll say it. He's great, but I don't think he's a good example for the children of Los Angeles. You get that, man? I mean, that's the part that really, really gets, you know, part of that is what gets me is the message that he's sending. Even though he's trying to go hit and reflect the bullets from hitting his ass, but that's a good point, though. I mean, you got to go ahead and look at some of these cats, and I think he's part of it. Donald Sterling is part of a lot of these black ball players not coming and doing stuff for the hood. But it's still, he put that out there. And I think that's something we need to go ahead and put toward these cats, man, because these guys are, like I was saying earlier, you know, Magic Johnson had movie theaters. Somebody was trying to tell me he had some stores and some other stuff in the neighborhood. But I really feel that, hey, look, if you was really going to go ahead and to have some kind of serious impact on the crime situation, the poverty, the unemployment situation, or going ahead and putting people, making people entrepreneurs. If you're going to come in, you should have go ahead every aspect of them theaters as much as you could. Should have been black owned. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Well,
I mean, Brother Pianchi, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Chef, I want to say this very quick about Magic and his business enterprises, okay? I just want to say this very quickly.
Okay.
Magic is really, Chef, he a front man for white corporate America, okay?
That's my point.
He the front man for Starbucks, Rent-A-Center, you know, the other French, the Guggenheim partners that own the Dodgers. He's a minority front man, okay? And for that, he's paid a handsome sum of money, okay? He don't own the franchises per se, but he helped lubricate the entry of the franchises into certain markets, okay? Mm-hmm. And he uses his image, his goodwill in the community to make all that happen. That's what he does. That's what many, many black business people do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not critical. I'm not criticizing Magic for that. But, no, Magic is not Don Sterling per se. Don Sterling run his own operation. He got his own real estate ventures, all right? He is the sole owner of the Clippers. He don't have no partners other than his wife, I guess. So, I mean, I'm not comparing Sterling to Magic, all right, in terms of, you know, what impact they're having in terms of business development and whatnot. Magic is a part of a group, a conglomerate that's worth, a private equity firm that's worth hundreds of billions of dollars.
All right, and that's all. That, but he the front guy. So that's the
right.
thing. And they did say very quick on CNN that yeah, Maddox is involved in some predatory lending schemes. That's no question
right.
about that. He with the prepaid debit cards, with the what they call them those loans people take out, those payday loans.
Loan.
Yeah, Maddox is involved in all that. The rent a center where you rent a TV that's normally $250 after you finish paying off your installment, you done pay 3-4 times what it's worth. So yeah, he do that. I mean, he ain't clean. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Brother Pianki?
Yeah.
What do you think about this, what Donald Sterling was saying about Magic Johnson? You know, he was saying that Magic Johnson ain't helped his people. And Donald Sterling was going ahead and letting you know, when Jews make money, they come back and they help their people.
Well, being a Jew has nothing to do with a religion,
uh-uh.
as is used in his term, nor it's a club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a club and a fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how Magic Johnson is being a front for the Los Angeles Dodgers to help them get into a market. What market? Their baseball club.
Well, I have to agree with Donald Sterling because, in my opinion, Magic Johnson's a finger-licking handkerchief-head Negro, as far as I'm concerned. He's been selling out the black nation for years. If there's an epidemic in Africa with AIDS, HIV, he must be on some sort of super drugs to keep him alive. Why don't he help the people of Africa and give them the cure and some of the black brothers and sisters in the hells of America some of those drugs to help them with their AIDS and HIV? See what I'm saying? He's a finger-licking, boot-licking Negro, man. And he just puts his name on the devil's stuff so that they can make more money, just like Michael Jordan. He ain't got no... His mind ain't behind them Air Jordans. They just use his name. Dilly.
Oh,
Chef
must have
dropped off the line.
Where you go, Rob?
Yeah, let me. Yeah, but the thing is, I'm not gonna bash Magic in this instance because some racist came out and try to throw him under the bus, you know, try to criticize him because he think his old faith is fooling around with Magic. I mean, yeah, Magic done did some things that many people may object to, okay? But
brother, this is the time where we're at a critical time in the world, on the planet, and this is the time where the fool is the wise man at this time. Brother, as crazy and as racist Donald Sterling said, what is, he was talking 100% truth when talking about Magic Johnson. He don't care about Negroes. Let's cut to the chase. That man don't care the shit about niggas. He didn't go and use his money to help Trayvon.
I know cases where he donated to a lot of things that was attributed to black people.
But we know that the white man does this every
day. Hold on.
I know cases. I know instances where he's done a lot of things toward black organizations.
Hold on a minute. See, that there, Pianki, this is what I... The thing that gets to me is that, yeah, I seen some shit. I ain't put that out. That he has done donated some money to some black causes. And that, look at the dude that was running the NAACP. He had to step down because he knew that Donald Sterling gave him hush money. Okay?
Donald Sterling was donating money to the United Negro College Fund, which provides scholarships for black children.
Brother Pianki, let me show you something about that. United
and Magic
Negro.
Johnson contributed to the same organizations that I do out there in California. So
all
he may
that,
not
all
be
that,
all
minute,
right, but
on.
He does do good things.
Hold on. United Negro College Fund is a scam and a sham. It's straight bull.
No, it's not. It provides scholarships for African Americans.
How many? Okay.
Sure. No, but they're putting out.
You ever looked at? Hold on. You ever looked at the criteria to go ahead and get a scholarship from the United Negro College Fund?
There's a whole host of scholarships that it funds, and one of the criteria that you have to that I really don't like, but I guess that's the way it is, that you have to go to a historically black college or university.
Prior to that, before that, it's talking about going ahead giving scholarships to blacks. But do you know you got to damn near be living out your car, and your grades got to be super high. See, here's my thing. As much money as they collected, you should be a 0.3 fucking student, and they should go ahead and provide you with that money as much as they collected. They are not. You can go to any college out here, junior college, major university, and ask a black student, are they getting money from the United Negro College Fund? And they don't do that. I ain't seen nobody. I've talked to so many people, and nobody knows that. So you please, I want to go ahead and know.
The General Mills Technology Scholars Award by way of the UN,
well, Pianchi,
United Negroes College Fund, the amount is, the minimum GPA is 3.0. The amount is $5,000.
Go ahead and look that up, too.
And there's a whole host of other ones here.
I have not seen no black people get that. I've seen nobody get
but
that.
But I have. I have, man. We got kids. My grandson went to a graduation tonight where black children received money from the United Negro College Fund.
A full ride scholarship?
I don't know if it's a full ride or not. The full ride is issued by the schools. It's not the United Negro College Fund. United Negro College Fund offers scholarships, amounts in money. Sometimes they renew them, some of them not.
You know what that is? You know what some of that is, brother? I know J.P. Morgan Chase, they give money to black scholarships for black schools. They give $5 million.
They all do. They all do. Blacks don't have the corporations to fund those organizations.
This the part that bugs me.
Should I say those scholarships? Hell, the NRA gives scholarships to black children.
I constantly hear that, hey, look, black kids can't make it in school, blah, 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 blah. The United Negro College
Fund deserves that.
Hold on a minute. The thing is that the United Negro College Fund is supposed to be for Negroes. And I don't see a lot of Negroes going to school. If you got this fund set up, it should be more
Go
Negroes.
To, if you had been at the National Society of Black Engineers Conference, which was in Nashville, Tennessee, March, April. I think it was in April. Because we were scheduled to go. He had games that weekend. It was hundreds of black children at this organization. Matter of fact, they had one in 2010 here in St. Louis. Hundreds of African-American engineers that were receiving scholarships from the United Negro College Fund.
All them kids was from St. Louis, or did they bust them in?
No, the National Society of Black Engineers, National, in Nesby.
Yeah.
They have at least six chapters.
I know about
them.
Oh, fuck.
We in Region 5.
Yeah, I've been to some of these stuff.
So, no, they do. They do give scholarships that's attributed to African-American children.
I just don't see it, and I want you to go ahead. I mean, you went there, your grandson was in part of it, but Brother B.A., you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're an educator. So how many black kids you seen to get money from the United Negro College Fund?
I've never seen or heard of a child on a UNCF scholarship, never. Let me say two things. The late Reverend Bill Gray, who was a congressman from Philadelphia who headed the United Negro College Fund. One of the major coups he came up with was he convinced Bill Gates to let the United Negro College Fund administer his Millennial Scholarship Fund, okay, which is a mega, mega, mega deal, mega, on one condition, that the scholarships be awarded to everybody, not just black kids, okay? He did do that in terms of convince Bill Gates to let UNCF run that
scholarship fund, all right? Number two, all the money, 99.9% of the money that the UNCF raises goes to its member institutions. It goes to keep the heat on the dormitories, to keep the water running, to keep teachers, you know, to recruit and retain teachers. It goes to the universities. It doesn't go to the students. So there are other black funds, such as the Thurgood Marshall Scholarship Fund, and there's another one. I can't remember the name of it. They do more in terms of giving funds directly to students. But, again, in my opinion, most of these scholarship things is a bit of a sham. It's a sham, all right? Your best route in terms of getting a scholarship, if you're a youngster, is to get it directly from the school. Very rare, very rare. Kids going through all these hoops, submitting all these statements, these essays and everything, all the transcripts, and a lot of them come up empty. The best way you obtain a scholarship is you get it directly from the school. You apply to a school,
and the schools,
gives you a package, and that's how you get it.
And the scholarships are paid directly to the school in the name of the student. They don't give the money to the students. They don't send the student a check.
We get that part, but here's the thing.
The schools themselves, the schools themselves will hook up a student with these scholarships. Every student don't have the ability to go out and research and send the money for information, books, and so on for scholarships. Schools will hook up a student. As a matter of fact, when a school offers a student a scholarship, part of the money that they're offering is actually coming from entities like United Negro College Fund, Thurgood Marshall, Ron Brown, so on.
Right. That may be true. I'm saying you're right. You're probably right about. I'm sure you're right about that, Bianchi. But I'm saying applying directly to United Negro College Fund. I have never seen an accounting of you. I know they raise money. I know what their purpose is. And they really are, I think they're about, 33, 34 member institutions that make up the UNCF. These are largely private, historically black colleges like Fisk, Tuskegee, Wiley. It's not your state black schools like Alabama State, Southern, Howard University, which is federally chartered. So these schools have shoestring budgets, you see. So
Morehouse is one. I'm looking at a list of them right now.
Yeah.
Allen, Benedict, Bethune, Clark,
right.
Atlanta, Dillard, Fisk, Florida
right.
Memorial.
Yeah, these are
and
all.
And you're right. They
not,
can't be. Most of them, Xavier University of Louisiana, there aren't any. Tuskegee is a land bank college. Tuskegee private?
It's private. Tuskegee is private.
Let me ask you a question, Bianchi. On that list?
Yeah.
On that list of schools, I can look it up myself. I look it up and make sure, but I'm going to ask you because you're right there at it. Which one of them schools offer an African curriculum? Which one of them schools offer any other African language?
African curriculum.
Swahili, barely
African.
Even.
What do you mean by the African curriculum? People go to college to take up disciplines, man, whether it's engineering, whether it's humanities. There may be some African studies within the humanities. I'm sure there are. That's another thing. All black folks don't consider themselves Africans. They don't want
right.
to even galvanize to it. So why are you trying to throw that on?
That wasn't my point, Bianchi. My thing is to go ahead and offer something to go ahead and tell you about yourself. That's what I'm getting.
Well, maybe they don't want to do that, man.
Right.
And I think that's
a
Supreme, let me tell you
something. Wait a minute,
something.
Let me make my point.
Black, all black, everything black
Johnson.
Is not black. Hold on, my goodness, man. You over there in England.
Well,
you should know that.
You've been dealing with too much science, brother. You've been dealing with too much of the devil's science.
I ain't
so
having to deal with none of this. I'm dealing with facts.
You black skin and you got afro hair and you walking around like that, you're my brother. If you got afro hair that grows to the sun and you got dark skin, or you come from a dark parent and, you know, we know that there was rape through the devil during slavery.
Now, there's some schools, some of those colleges do have great programs, which I commend, but all students don't go to the schools. You know, most students get their quote-unquote African centers way before they get to college, at least they should.
What's the name of that? Look, man, what's the name of that? I can't remember. Most of these schools, when you got, okay, like when you're dealing with Jews, they'll teach you from a Jewish perspective. Is there any college going ahead and teach you from a black perspective?
I don't know. You have to ask.
Well, no. This is how the Jewish community get down. This is how they do it. The Jews try to get a presence, a strong presence, control at state-funded institutions. Okay? There are very few Brandeises and yeshivas, unlike the Catholic institutions where there are hundreds of Catholic institutions.
Yeah, that was the one, Brandeis, the one that was called.
Right. Jews, they try to make a mistake of presence at all the flagship state universities. They want to be the deans, chairman, and as Sterling said, they help out other Jews. If you are talented, say you're a talented chemist, okay, you're spotted early. As soon as you enter college, you know, you got talent, there is a network of Jews that make sure they exploit your talent and take you as far as, you know, you can go. So you can take their spots, okay? So when they retire, they got people already prepared to fill in the slots. With African Americans, in terms of, say, engineering, science, we don't have that critical mass yet where we can exploit and take advantage of some of these institutions. Even you look at Pianke, if you look at historically black colleges and universities, if you go to Jackson State University, Southern, you look at the professors there. The majority of them are not black, particularly in science and engineering.
Well, I tell you one thing. The majority of the baseball players on those teams are all white, practically 98% of them.
Well, yeah. golf, you know. But the point is that if you have a talent that has nothing to do with sports, football, basketball. You know, if you got a penchant for banking, for numbers, all right, that's what you like. Other groups, they have ways to facilitate your aspirations, okay? Mm-hmm. They can get you in at Goldman Sachs. They can get you in at Morgan Stanley. You know, and it's up to a black kid to try to fit in that mix.
Mm-hmm. Or let blacks have their own.
When I was going to college, right,
mm-hmm.
there was a network of black franchise owners in Detroit. These guys owned Hardy restaurants, Kentucky Fried Chickens, you know, a few McDonald's owners. Okay. They pulled me aside, and they found out, hey, you got a good work ethic. You're smart. You're going to Howard University. You're going to college. And they told me, say, well, what I want you to do is go to college and major in accounting. Major in accounting. Become an accountant. And come back to Detroit and buy fast food franchises. Now, for a 17, 18-year-old kid, you telling me I'm here working this high grease? I had no interest, zero, of running a fast food franchise. Why? Because I didn't know how much money they were making in their mess. I didn't know they were making $2-3 million in these franchises. I didn't know, but that was through the black churches, that was a network that blacks were getting into, and they were encouraging their children to, hey, when you go to college, you ain't got to work for corporate America. You already straight. When you leave, you come and you move into some franchises. Also in politics, if you go down to City Hall, there were a lot of youngsters, a lot of high school kids working as interns at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You're right, B.A.
I got a friend of mine who I went to college with, was just elected this week mayor of Newark, Raz Baraka.
B.A., let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Now,
go
you
ahead.
Mentioned about the franchises. That opening up of them franchises sprung off of what Jesse Jackson done with Burger King.
I agree.
See, people say Jesse Jackson ain't never done nothing, but they have. Matter of fact, many of your race-specific scholarships where it says for African-American, you have to be African-American, that came off the movement of Jesse Jackson and them back in them days. And what he done with Burger King, which broke Burger King down, matter of fact, that was how, what's his name, got into business, the black man that ran for president. No, the one that ran for president. Kane, ain't it? Herman Kane.
Right. He got Godfathers.
Because I think either Burger King owned Godfathers, something like that. And matter of fact, they waited till he came up with the money so that he could move into that. They held it aside just specifically for him because of the pressure that Jesse Jackson then was putting on Burger King at
Absolutely.
That time. And what it was, and they told him, say, they wanted to give the brothers franchises in the hood. And the brothers went back and said, we want franchises in the white community, too.
Right.
And they had to comply.
Right. I don't know if you know this guy, LaVon Hawkins. He was trying to negotiate a deal to get 250 Burger King franchises, okay? And he was trying to use Reverend Al Sharpton to help him, similar to what Jesse Jackson was doing with Budweiser and Burger King. But throughout the black churches, I know in the city of Detroit, black men were networking in the late 70s and early 80s to buy profitable. I mean, these McDonald's back then were making $3 million a year, okay? And these were millionaires, these black women. And the whole deal was get them up and running and then sell them, and you parlay that into, like I said, bigger ventures like
becoming an NBA owner.
Oh, yo, this Chef Bob right now? Is this Chef Bob? Am I on right now?
NBA, becoming an NBA owner, because NBA teams were selling for cheap, man.
Are y'all so fucking lackadated? Are y'all lackadated about what the fuck is going on in America? Are y'all just get on Blog Talk Radio just to run your fucking mouth and feel like it ain't nothing going on?
We're going to get you a minute, man.
When the gunshots fire and hit you in your head, you could tell God that I'll get to you in a minute.
All right.
What do you mean, all right? I hear all of y'all talking shit on block. No, with respect to you, Chef Rob, I mean, I know you, Pianchi. I've heard you, Pianchi, for almost 2 years. I don't know the other guy, but, I mean, Pianchi, you got good sense what you saying. I mean, I just got to know, man, what the fuck is going on with this country right now, man? Did you see what the FCC is doing right now? They're about to shut the fucking internet down. They're about to shut it down. Y'all didn't see them reports? I guess people are so caught up in blog talk radio with drama and stuff that they're not looking at the reports.
I don't think the devil would do
man,
that.
Man, neutrality ain't, I don't think it's going no place. But let B.A. finish and we come right back to you. Hold your thoughts. Let B.A. finish.
Thanks, Pianchi. Let me say this. Because what was going on is that the entry point was franchises, right? But a lot of people were able to parlay that into owning casinos,
like Barton, Don Barton did. He bought he had a cable company, and then he went and bought a casino in Las Vegas and riverboats in Illinois and Indiana. And then some of them went and bought Marriott franchises and Hilton franchises, and I mean that was, you know, how African Americans really got independence was through, again, the fast food franchises. And that sort of lost steam, okay, in the last 10 years, last 12 years, where you don't see as many African Americans going in and buying a franchise. Outside of, by the way, Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was one of the largest Starbucks franchise owners, so he sold it. He was one of, you know, he had, like I said, he had a very, Sony does not allow anybody to put their name on their theaters. There's no Sony and the franchisee name on theaters, but they allow Magic Johnson to do it. That was a big coup for Magic Johnson. All right? They put up all the money, they put up the operation, and just got Magic's name on it. That's where Africans, when we talk about Jews and blacks and all that stuff, the Jews got it more to a sign. They got particular.
They've been doing it forever.
Right. See,
Magic Johnson do outrightly own those portions of those teams he's involved in, because he deals with one of his partners is
Guggenheim Partners.
They offices are about 5 miles from where I am now. And that's who he deals with here.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I had Stuff Brothers come to me wanting to do some business. You know, it's better to have 10% of 100 businesses rather than have 100% of one. And that's, that's what he does.
Well,
go
see,
ahead.
This the thing. See,
get that other brother out there.
He's part of these different groups. And again, back to what Donald Sterling said, he don't come back and help his people. And see,
Sterling is lying. I know things that Magic Johnson does, man. Call out to the Marcus Garvey Academy, Marcus Garvey School in South Central LA, and see what Magic Johnson does for this school.
I'm a Clipper fan. And how I look at it as being a Clipper fan, fuck the fucking owner. The owner can suck fucking dick. Right now, the Clippers are winning right now. They should have won game 5, but the owner, he's already fucking finished. He's done. So
you in L.A.?
No, I'm in South Carolina.
Oh.
But the owner is fucking done. So, I mean, it's not really.
We need more black NBA owners. That's where it's at. Can't buy the Clippers now. Clippers are worth too much. He wants too much for the Clippers, and the likelihood of that business being worth $1.4 billion is unlikely.
But who do you think? No, Pianca, do you and Chef Rob and the other caller, who do you think will buy the Clippers?
I think it would take a conglomerate, take Oprah and some of the others.
So you think it would take a couple people to buy it? It ain't just be one
ain't
person.
Ain't no one
to
gonna pay that kind of put that type of liquid up
you're
to
right.
cover no 700 million.
You took a guy like the guy that owns Oracle, the operating system. The
I'm talking company. About blacks.
Oh, blacks. Oh no.
If you look at it, you could. Magic Johnson's not gonna buy the damn Clipper because he's
not
a,
by
he's
himself.
Lakers.
No.
They talking about the wife is supposed to own it, but no, fuck the Sterling family, period. They're done. They're finished. We got to get past that. They're done. Who will buy? They talking about waiting.
You know what? Come, I want to see black owners own NBA. Then you can get blacks in the office, the marketing. Sports, medicine, training.
If you look at the NBA, man, the NBA is kind of rigged, man. I think there is because even look at the I forgot their name, man. What's the referees, man? Oh fuck, it just went up from my mind. It was two referees. The the brothers, man, they're referees and they're together, man. And I forgot the name because every time they officiated the OKC game, they won 11 games straight with these damn referees, man. It was two brothers now, the referees, man. I forgot the goddamn name. You just switched my damn. I forgot that shit. I've been talking about this shit all day with the names. Two referees, they're brothers, and they work together. And every time that they play for the OKC game, that they won 11 games straight with these referees, man. It's the brother, damn. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know the names.
Well, I heard of the incident, but I don't know the names. But go ahead.
Let me say this about blacks buying them. L.A. is the second largest market in the
Tony
country.
Brothers. I think it was the Tony Brothers. The Tony Brothers. It's okay. Two referees. Yeah, the Tony Brothers. And you know what?
What does that got to do with what we're talking about now?
Tony Brothers.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Everybody relax for a minute. This Donald Sterling guy, you know, and he's had several discrimination lawsuits. So to go ahead and he's not racist.
Yeah, he settled him out of court.
He just gave himself away on Anderson Cooper. He showed that he's motherfucking crazy when he said that bullshit. He's done. I mean, I'm a straight Clippers fan. Man. I got Chris Paul jersey. I got Jamal Crawford, and I got fucking Blake Griffin. I mean, he's trying to come with his sanity plea. Fucking sanity plea. You fucking gave yourself up, man. You're a straight racist. You're racist.
Well,
you don't
know,
give a fuck about
brother, let's agree to this. In our privacy, we say worse things than what Donald Sterling said on television.
Yeah, but I mean, still at the same damn time, man. He got called, and the woman that fucking called him, she ugly as fuck. I don't know how people could be attracted to this bitch. The bitch was a gold digger. The bitch is ugly, man. The bitch like
yeah,
she
ugly. I agree with you there. She is ugly, but let's face it, man. Amongst ourselves, at the meeting before the meeting, we say worse things than Donald Sterling said.
I think I'm entitled to say some of those things. Look, let me go ahead. Neil, this dude Donald Sterling's net worth is about $1.9
billion. Yeah, $1.9 billion.
Well, you have to look at his liquid worth. Networks change every minute.
No. Here's the thing. Let me put that in perspective, though.
That's not the thing.
Let me say this.
Here's the issue. I don't care what you're worth. You got a partner, and the partner is named Uncle Sam. The problem with the Sterlings, that team is in a trust. It's in a trust for a reason. Dude ain't trying to pay no taxes. If he was forced to sell, say, for $1 billion, he mad as hell. Because $550 million of it is going straight to Uncle Sam. Because
he's always been a slumlord.
Wait a second. The dude, is in trust, in a family trust. He's going to die soon. He's 80-something years old. The Sterling family would love to see the Clippers transferred to the children. You want to know why? Because it goes to the children tax-free. Don't nobody want to pay no taxes on $1.9 billion.
That's why his net worth is meaningless, man.
Right, because, listen, it don't matter because here's the deal. The Clippers is a piggy bank, an unlimited ATM machine. He don't
25% interest a year.
Well, I mean, if Sterling wants, whatever he wants, he goes to the bank, I own the Clippers. They give him up. You want $1 billion? Here's $1 billion loan. You know how much money Sterling would pay on $1 billion loan using the Clippers as collateral? How much he gonna pay in taxes? Zero. $0 in taxes. So why in the hell would this man want to sell the team to get $1 billion when he gonna pay half of that in taxes? When he can just go to the bank and borrow $1 billion, have to pay nothing in taxes.
Well, he don't want to sell it. They're trying to force him to sell it, so that's going to be interesting to see how that play out.
That's my point. Who's going to pay his tax bill?
Would you agree, if I knew then, well, I wasn't able to, but if I knew back then what I know now, I would have been trying to buy me an NBA franchise.
Hmm.
What's the CEO that they put for the Clippers? They had a CEO now. What was the guy's name?
Dick Parsons, who ran Time Warner.
Yeah. Was it AOL? It was AOL, wasn't it?
No, they had broke up. It was Time Warner. He ran that.
He's part of Time Warner?
Yeah, he was the CEO chairman of Time Warner.
Time Warner and what's the guy's name, Ted?
Citibank.
Wasn't it Ted Turner before that?
No. Let me get it. Okay, listen. AOL bought Time Warner, right? Time Warner bought Turner Cable. Now, what happened is when they were doing all the buying, the big dog was AOL. AOL couldn't compete when everything went on the internet. So the value of AOL went down. So Time Warner spun off of AOL, kicking out his name. So they no longer wanted to be AOL Time Warner. They just wanted to be Time Warner because Time Warner was a lousy company. And that Time Warner that spun off was ran by Dick Parsons. He was the chairman and CEO of that company. It is no longer a part of AOL. AOL is an independent company now. It's a private company now.
What do you think he's going to do with the Clippers?
Nothing. He's just
a face.
He's just a figurehead.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you nothing much you can do with him.
Right. Listen, the team run itself, man. You know, listen, he in L.A., you playing the Staples Center, day in the playoff. All you got to do is say, okay, guys, going out there and play. Then the money comes in. He don't have to do nothing. What do you got to do to market the Clippers? Nothing. Everybody going to show up. Everybody want to be in the game now. They the team in L.A. for the minute. He don't have to do anything. He's just a figurehead. We got to put this black guy in charge of the team so everybody think we're doing something to shut out this racist in Sterling. And
isn't that like a common theme? Don't they do that a whole lot? They go ahead and bring in a Negro to go ahead and put his face out there?
Absolutely, Chef. Listen, that's how it's done. That's why if you look on the boards of corporate America, it's always the same black person. All the same black people sit on corporate boards. Same guy like Dick Parsons, Vernon Jordan.
Vernon Jordan.
Because they got their rent a Negro. They pick the same Negroes to do everything because those are the ones they trust. They in the game. They know not to make no waves. They know not to do anything to because I tell you this, Vince Magic Johnson did say he considers himself a leader in the black community and knows his people. Dick Parsons would never say anything like that. Dick Parsons would never say he's a leader in the black community and he's looking out for black folks. He'll never say that. So, yeah, this is the game that people play all the time. Now, I will say this about LeBron James. I appreciate LeBron James stepping up, but LeBron James got to understand, man, listen, you going on strike makes no sense whatsoever.
Nah.
NBA players, you got a hundred
under contract.
Yeah, why would you go? You ain't no garbage worker. You ain't making $10 an hour, dude. You make the best thing.
You know what?
BA,
the NBA is where you go and make money.
Right. Right.
And then check out the retirement. If you stay there 11 years, they pay you $200,000 a year retirement. Where in the hell are you going to get that kind of stuff in the real world? When you get out of the NBA, you got that cash and that capital, and you can get involved in other things. That's the way they do
it.
Some people do it through drugs. Some people do it like Pat Robertson with diamond mines in Africa. Some people do it with the oil. People does things in order to generate capital to do bigger and better things.
Here's my thing, Pianchi. If LeBron James play his cards right, because you only got a limited amount of time to play that game, okay, you can't get back the years. If he play his cards right, this kid can own the Clippers outright. He can be the first billion-dollar athlete. He can play his game, make his money, And when he retired within a couple of years, he can do what Michael Jordan did 10 times over, okay? Because he's going to be making far more money than Michael Jordan.
And let me say something else. The club that Sterling belonged to with his designation as a Jew is the club where people come together and talk about deals. Everybody want to know about the next deal that's coming down the pipe. It's like when E.F. Hutton talked. If you are privileged to sit at that table and to network with people at that level, I mean, there's a lot of folks who give their left arm for that privilege.
Yeah, but see, Pianchi, listen, man. But here's the thing. You got Jews who go ahead and do that. Where is that table full of black people? Where is that table full of black people?
Black folks don't have to put their table together. Blacks need to put their table
together. We need to go ahead and recognize.
Well, you got the Harvest. You got the Harvest, Claude Anderson's organization. Sit at the table with them.
Hey, Rob, Chef, you asked a good question.
Dr. Claude Anderson, you ready to give up?
You have to listen to what Sterling is trying to tell us. Sterling is saying he do a lot for the minorities. He said he want to be your father. He want to be the one to take care of you. You ain't got to do what you're talking about doing, because guys like Sterling said he going to help you. And that's the rub.
If you got an idea, go to Sterling. He'll be your partner. He'll be your venture capitalist. He'll be your venture capitalist.
Right. He'll be your daddy.
Matter of fact, when you're talking to a venture capitalist, if you got an idea and you're talking to venture capitalists, it's the Sterling's money that's behind it.
Sterling and Jerry Buss, who owned the Lakers, they both started out doing the same thing. They were buying up in the 1950s. They were buying up L.A. real estate, which was cheap because L.A. was a desert, all right? No one pictured that everybody would want to be in L.A. in 20 years. And they bought that. They bought the Clippers cheap. I think he paid $11, $12 million for the Clippers. Jerry Buss paid next to nothing Lakers in the 70s because all the real estate.
What did Steinbrenner pay for the Yankees? About the 70,000, something like that.
Yeah.
He paid pennies for the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, so these guys, you know, they got lucky.
And he sold it when Bush done away with the capital gains tax, and he didn't have to pay no capital gains on it. Mm-hmm. People say politics don't work for you. If he had waited a year, he would probably have to pay half of what he made off the Yankees toward federal taxes.
Politics do work for you if you can buy politicians.
Well, then we got to get to the point where we can buy politicians. I'd rather buy politicians than buy booty.
Than buy what?
Right. Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
That's messed up, Pianchi.
I mean, it's true, though, man. And that's why I get to the other point. What we're talking about is not for everybody. Because you're going to have people out there who would rather buy booty. They don't want to get involved. Because when you get into the position, of course, now with Sterling, they got a cash cow. But it takes a lot of damn work to get to that position, man.
But
that
Pianchi,
ain't easy.
But Pianchi, that's the problem with the world, bro. That's the problem with the world. People want to buy booty
Supreme,
and help the people.
Supreme, let me tell you something. I understand what you're saying. But unfortunately, the world just don't run that way, young man. I'm sorry. I used to be like you. Ain't nothing wrong with being that way. But at some point in time, something's going to slap you in the face and wake you up. The world does not run that way. I wish it did, but it don't. And you got to play the game the way the game presents itself. Until they come up with some more rules and regulations, I'm sorry. You got to play the game the way the rules and regulations are as they exist today.
And see, playing the game, here it is. Playing the game, this is other individuals, they didn't invent the game, but what they did was they took over the game. So now they established the rules, so you can't get into the game. We can get into the game.
No, they don't. No, that's not true. That's not true. You can get into the game. No, it is not true. You can get in the game. Don't say you can't get in the game. People get in the game all the time.
We can get in the game. Okay, let me rephrase that. But once we get into the game, they've already bought the politicians to establish rules to go ahead and put restrictions on you from going ahead and moving
that's
horizontally,
right.
Moving vertically in the goddamn
game. No, every politician that's running for election is running against somebody. That means they got opposition. Brother, don't never get to the point to tell you that you can't get into the game. That's just not true. Hell, blacks used to control this same game at one time in a different time frame in history. Used to do the same thing. Look what Mansa Musa did. Mansa Musa depressed the market. When he depressed the market, you could buy up everything on pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, but he already had a big inheritance as well of wealth. Man, what are you talking about? A man has an inheritance of wealth in abundance.
Yeah. He inherited, and that's something else. The individuals who go ahead born in the wealth.
Magic Johnson wasn't born in the wealth, but he stand to lose. If the Democrats want to take it all when he die.
Sold out. That's why he sold out the biggest.
Magic Johnson wasn't born
Magic Johnson
ain't
sold out.
Money you have as a black man, in this day and in 2014 as a black man, melanated being man and woman, more money you have, the bigger sellout you've been doing, the more of a sellout you've done.
Well, that's just not true, Frispring. You talking
that's
to
true.
A person now. As I talk
not,
to you on
you.
The phone,
you,
and
you,
as
you
I go to sleep in about another 2 hours, I'm making money.
Brother, hear what I'm saying. You worked your way to the top, so I can respect that. You ain't sold out. You ain't.
What do you mean when you say sold out?
That means that you're working for the best interest of the devil, and that means the fact that
no.
Let me tell you.
Let me explain
look
that to you. Hold on. Let me explain that to you. If I'm white and you black. If I send you an invoice, I expect you to pay it. If you send me an invoice, you expect me to pay it. Now we doing business. That's all it is.
So,
brother, if you go into, say, for example, me going into the training industry, there's a lot of blood on my hands. You know what I'm saying?
Which kind
There's a lot
of industry?
Of blood on my hands and a lot of hunger on my hands if I go into the training industry because they deal with a whole load of cheap labor. The whole business
training.
Of the training industry, the fashion industry is an unethical institution. It's all unethical. It's dealt with all on ethics.
I don't know nothing about
cheap
that.
Cheap labor. Cheap
That's
labor.
That's another thing
that
you don't
want
to do, get involved in something you don't know nothing about. Unless you can
I'm
hire
telling
somebody.
You, but what I'm trying to say is that all fashion, from fashion, most fashion to car manufacturers, they all depend upon cheap labor to some extent. Just
well,
like
yeah,
the,
they do. But
yeah,
here's another
exactly,
point too,
yeah.
Supreme. You can take $800 a month and you can live like a king in Ghana. $800 to $1,000. If you got $1,000, you got a maid and you got a house. You got a maid, chauffeur, and gardener, plus food. You cannot do that in the United States.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, yeah, but it's not like, all right, when you've got that, the majority of the people are broke.
So where you going to
you
have
understand?
Your stuff? No, they not, neither. They not broke. Them girls, you ever see them African girls? They look like they starving to you. So if you got a business that you want to have employees, where are you going to put your business at? You're
going to
put your business where you can have the leverage.
Why they come into dirty Babylon? Britain.
They come.
They come
here. I'm going
to
tell you the reason why they come here. I'm going to tell you exactly. I'm going to tell you exactly why they come here. They come here to qualify for things that black Americans can't qualify for. That's as simple as I can tell you.
Like what? They run off to dirty Babylon, Britain, and they run off to the hills of America.
They come here to the United States. They get jobs. They get into the schools where black Americans are not qualified at the rate that they should.
No, I'm talking, let's talk about the average African, yeah? They work 3-4 jobs. They don't even have no time for this. They work 18 hours a day.
Yeah, and what do they do with their money?
Hey, y'all, you want to know a big field that's growing that Africans are dominating? The home care industry. You guys
You're right.
The home care industry. The Nigerians got it on lock, okay?
And also nursery schools. They still call them nursery schools? Nursery where they people drop their baby off and go to work?
Right. Pre-K, yeah.
Yeah. We got some Nigerians in the St. Louis area dominating that business.
Let me tell you why they do them jobs there. You got to understand that we've gone through a psychology, you know, in our past. It's in our genetic memory bank where we had to do things for the white man, you know, look after their children, empty their shit, piss. You know, we did it. We had to look after white people when they're sick. They all sorts of things. And, you know, in this day and age, we're not going to do that. The ex-slaves ain't going to do that in this day and age. They will come over here. It's not in their psyche. It's not in their mind.
Well, they're not necessarily looking after whites. They're looking at blacks because black kids are putting their grandmother and father in old folks' homes.
So let me tell you why I would never do a job like Karen. Now, my grandmother and my grandfather, they did them jobs there. And they could afford to buy a house and have a car and look after 4 kids. If I went to do that job today, that would only be enough for one man or woman to do a caring job, doing that, going around people's houses and look after old people. It ain't worth it. So I'm just trying to say that we've seen our older generations do it, the younger ones, and we've seen, you know, they could acquire things. But now for us to do that, we ain't acquiring nothing.
Did you hear...
carer's home, hold on. The African will work in a carer's home and do a little cleaning job on the side.
Let me give you another example. Who's the brother that just received the MVP, Kia MVP award? What was his name? Kevin Durant?
But let's finish this off, though, brother. We've got to remember again, when the African comes out to the dirty Babylon and the hells of America, right? His mindset ain't on staying here. So he don't mind how he lives when he comes out here. He'll stay like 10 to a room, and he'll just send all his money back to Africa. You see what I'm trying to say?
Well, yeah, they do that. But you know something else they do? They target them high-paying professions. When they go to college, they are targeting those high-paying professions.
I don't want to be... that's the high ones. But we're talking about the majority of them. Right, and the majority of them, they come over and they graft, they work hard, they do idiot jobs, they do the jobs that we ex-slaves won't do.
I'm gonna tell you another African group, not African in terms of the diaspora, the Haitians, man.
Haitians.
You know, aerospace, engineering, defense contracting.
And they in medicine, like radiologists and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you only deal with a few, right? The main language in that country is French, right? That's the main language, right? You only get a certain...
And what's the main language in Nigeria?
Hold on, brother. You only get the astute Haitians go over to dirty Babylon and the hells of America. The rest of them go over to France.
What about the Somali refugees? Supreme, see, you over in England, man. We here in the United States where we see this stuff. We got Somali refugees. You know what a refugee is? You know what a refugee is. We got Somali refugees up in Minnesota, man. Look at the stuff that they doing up there.
They got businesses and stuff like that out here.
If I wanted to come from nothing to go to a place where I can become something, I would choose the United States of America.
Well, what I'm trying to say that we can't compare what we're doing or our struggles with the Africans. It's not fair because they leave their home and they don't forget home. Their mind is still on going back home. They're not looking to lay
well,
down.
Well, blacks done the same thing, Supreme. Blacks left the South and went north. They didn't send money back down to the South to pay for the taxes on their land.
Can't, as long as you're trying to lay down your roots anywhere in the hills of America, it don't matter. You're screwed. Just like
all right, well,
I'm
done with this conversation.
You've got black folks who are trying to lay down roots in Britain. We're screwed.
You should go back home.
Because it's expensive. This is where I was born. It's a very expensive place that just eats up your money, especially in London. In London, you're living from paycheck to paycheck, the average person. London's very expensive. You know, money, expensive.
Well, come to America.
If you came to the UK with your money, that would
be... What kind of skills do you have, Supreme? What profession are you in?
In half. Fitness.
What profession are you in, Supreme?
Fitness.
In fitness, you need to be in Dubai. That's where you need to be. I know African American that's in Dubai make like 140 every 6 months teaching physical fitness. I was on in Egypt with the running back for the Tennessee Titans, a friend of mine, George.
Yeah, but it's not about my...
Wait a minute, let me finish. Dog, I can't never think of George. What's George's name, Chef Rod?
His name is George.
What's his first name?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we was in Egypt, and there's another brother out of Memphis who was a trainer, and he works over in Dubai, and he's a physical fitness trainer. And he's making all kinds of money over there doing that. So, Supreme, maybe you need to go over there where they don't look at your color as much as they do where you are now.
No, I'm not. Listen, bro, it's not about myself. I'm talking about my people around me. You understand? I don't want to
Yeah, but you can't do nothing for your people if you ain't got no money, man. You can't criticize athletes that's got money. Athletes that's got money is not going to give you money to do something that they don't have no interest in.
Brother, my aim is to build business for that gone, brother.
Supreme, hold on. You know what, what you just said, I see that for black athletes, not for white athletes. White athletes going to go ahead and come back and do hockey players, baseball, any golf. If these people tell you they came from some place, especially if they come from the South or some of these really rural areas, they're coming back to do something for them people. Black athletes don't do shit.
Yeah, but they come back with money, man. And black athletes do things. Now, they may not be doing the things that we want them to do, but
okay,
they do things, brother,
we support them, brother. We support them.
But I don't pay to go to no NBA baseball nor NFL games.
We support them in our hearts.
That's
brother.
Mostly whites that's sitting, and you know,
brother,
that's another thing too, BA.
Those
athletes have to be careful because of the white backlash.
We need an all-black league to take your ball and say, fuck it, I'm going to play over here.
No, you ain't going to have no all-black league because you don't have the support. Where are black folks going to come up with the money to pay? I don't know. What did it cost? $80 for a ticket? Way up in the stratosphere?
But the fact that
we're watching the game on the TV, that's the job that the devil wants. He wants
Wait, hold on. Wasn't that what killed the Negro League? Is they wanted to get the best players, not to just go ahead and make it one of these to integrate the league. It was one of these things because they saw that them black players was a lot better.
Willie Mays made $230 a month when he was in the Negro League.
That was
making some
money
in the slot white class, wasn't he?
That was big money back in the day, though, brother. That was
when he went to
10 days.
When he signed with the Giants, and some teams didn't even want to sign him. New York would, because they was had their money on the kid from Oklahoma, Mickey Mantle. The Boston Red Sox.
Can I say something?
They wouldn't sign. Go ahead.
I think we have a big, huge problem. I think black folks could have been free all over the globe if our so-called rich, wealthy black individuals or indigenous people would line themselves up instead of running away from the revolutionary brothers and sisters on the main line. That's what needs to happen. They have not done so. They get with these white folks. They get this money. And let them white folks tell them, don't go back and do this and do that. You got to follow all these cracker regulations. So
they
do not help us, the people at the grassroots. They get above us. They don't want to come back and help us. Where is the integrity in a man that is rich and wealthy and got a whole world under his hands if he does not reach back to his lowest people? What good
is right, Farrakhan.
It don't mean a goddamn thing to the rest of us. So
it
doesn't matter. You might as well just be a chocolate-covered cracker over there with the crackers on the other side of the damn fence. Because you cannot
Your well, that's basically what blacks in America are anyway, chocolate-covered white folks, aren't you?
Brother. Brother, we have to hold them responsible.
And here's another thing, too. All blacks in America are not the same.
Brother, we have
no, we're not the same, but we are treated the same. That's the problem.
They all blacks
that's
in America
are
not treated
the
same.
Yes,
they are not
are.
Treated. The same. No, you
How
are
not
treated
not?
The same.
How are
yes,
we not?
We are, brother. You've been watching. You've been.
If you're driving down
watching,
the street, Miyake, and they see a black man, they're not worried about if you're an individual. They see a black man. So what do you mean we're not treated the same? Yes, we are. That's the belief. That's the faulty belief that black people who get money. They think when they get money or wealth that they've transcended being black. So they're no longer black. They're wealthy or rich now, and they're going to be treated as such. That's only the case. Like, look at Oprah. She went to go try to buy that a purse that's, what, however many thousands of dollars, and they wouldn't let her get the bag. Now, this black woman is Oprah Winfrey. Everybody knows she's rich and everything else, but because she was black, they still categorize her as black. So, I mean, we all
well, you know, at one point in time, they wouldn't let Jews in white hospitals. So what did they do?
So what, man? So
here
what?
Here in St. Louis, they bought
so
the
what,
damn
man?
Hospital called Jewish Hospital.
Come on, brother, man. Let's not. I told you we can't put ourselves in
what would you want? What would you
position,
want somebody
brother?
Rich to do?
But we got the education system against us. The police system's against us, brother.
Supreme, what do you want somebody rich to do for you?
No, I'm just trying to say they keep.
No,
I
like
bit.
To know. I mean, you keep
all right,
saying
all
right, this
let
thing.
Me tell you
tell
something.
Me.
All right, let me tell you something. You had 57 schools in Chicago, which is the death capital for black people on the world, probably. Up there with Johannesburg and Kingston, Jamaica on election day, right?
What about the schools
why
in Chicago?
Them, no, hold on. Why didn't them ball players, you got ball players, you got boxers. You got cage fighters. You got
so
money.
They should have bought the schools and kept them open.
Money
let me ask
them.
You something.
You
all right,
money.
Let me give you an answer
you
to that.
Entertainers,
and
they
could
have bought the schools
together.
And kept them schools.
No,
on,
let
brother.
Me give you an
hold
answer.
On,
let me give you an
you
answer
got
to that.
Diddy.
Okay,
hold
wait,
on,
wait,
brother.
Wait.
You, them man, they couldn't put no money.
Let me give you a good answer to that.
Schools going, not even one. Them niggas
let me give you. Let me give you an answer to that. It's easy for you
if
to say what you're saying, but it doesn't make any logic whatsoever.
If all the rich niggas in America put $10 together, they could keep the one school in Chicago open. Could have still been open today, brother. If
all right, well, let me give you a good reason
why
come they don't
rich
do that.
Niggas are out there in America, man, especially them niggas in Faglanta as
well.
Well,
you don't made your point. You don't have to go on that long. You made your point. A minute ago. The reason why they don't do that, Supreme, if the state of Illinois, whose budget is probably $1 trillion, if they can't efficiently run those 50 schools, why do you think a millionaire black person is going to put money into something like that?
So what? So
you
them niggas
saying,
gonna,
only
them
not
money,
about the children.
Them niggas,
it don't matter.
Huh?
Okay, wait. Everybody calm down. Everybody calm for a minute. Let me do this. First off, we got 4 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and take this in overtime a little bit.
Call-in number is 347-215-8465. Again, the call-in number is 347-215-8465. Brother Pianchi, look, you know, the thing of them, the black entertainers have gone ahead and profited off this.
Let's talk about them schools. Let's stay on the schools for a minute. Another thing, where are you going to get the schools from?
I am.
From?
I'm going to get to that.
Where are you going to get the schools from?
Black entertainers have been profiting off this. Uh-huh. Off,
we closed 38 schools here in St. Louis. Why? Because there's no kids.
Hold on a minute. Hold
they
on
aborted
a minute.
All the babies 8 years ago.
Okay, wait a minute. The thing is that, hey, look, they could have kept them schools open, but if they go ahead.
No, they could not. I went in some of them schools. Some of them schools' classroom have 10 children in the classroom.
Okay,
a school that was designed, a school. We have a school here called Rob. I'm talking about St. Louis. We have a school here.
A lot of parents can go ahead and watch their kids. A lot of parents, look, you got some sisters out here that dad done ran away. And this is a lot of households. Dad
but
ran
that
away
ain't a millionaire's fault that the dad don't ran away.
That ain't got nothing to do with what I'm saying, Brother Pianchi. Let me make my point, okay? The sisters going ahead working to go ahead and keep them kids together, to go ahead and keep them out the system so they don't wind up in foster homes and all this other stuff. So she's working two, maybe three jobs, okay? So what that is she's not at home, so them kids are running wild. Ain't nobody at home to go ahead and teach them about math and science and what have you. So when they get to school, they don't give a damn about what's going on because they done learned the streets, what's going on in the streets. So what the school officials go ahead and say, well, these kids are hard to teach. Their parents ain't going ahead and teach them nothing. But the individuals who made money, who are fortunate enough to go ahead and get into sports, get into entertainment, they knew this shit. They saw this.
They
shit.
Didn't know. Rob, let me ask you a question. As I said before, we got a school here.
I can go ahead.
We got a school here called Cleveland High School. It was designed to hold by 1,500 students, man. A big, beautiful building. My grandson commented about it. We drove by Saturday to go over to St. Mary's Field to play Christian. Man, when you go in those classrooms before they close the school down, you only had 15 students in half of the classrooms. Where are the kids?
Did you miss what I was saying?
Let me tell you something.
It's about the home. If they don't have a stable home, like, they don't give a fuck about school. They got to worry about going ahead and try to walk.
But
to
that's not an athlete's problem, brother.
You went to St. Louis. I've been to St. Louis at East St. Louis. And when I was in the Army, I couldn't stand St. Louis. I know damn well you know what I'm talking about, Pianchi. There's a reason for a lot of this to be done like that. And I think you I don't know why you go ahead.
But
and
what I'm
route.
Telling you is
brother,
that
you
is not the problem
years.
Of athletes
brother,
or rich entertainers.
That's not the problem, but here it is in a nutshell. It's not the problem, but they contribute to it, and these people go ahead and come out the neighborhood, and they forget. Whites don't do that, Pianchi, and you know this. A lot of whites will go ahead and contribute to stuff. One of the first things they say is, I'm American, so I'm going to go ahead and give my money to this group over here.
What does white folks
group.
Got to
and
do
you
with
it? Can't tell me that's not happening, Pianchi.
But Rob, what have white people have to do with it? Whites are not in these communities no more. These communities are black
occupied. But they still
own
some of the property in the communities, Pianchi. You know that.
They do what?
They still own some of the properties in the community, Pianchi. Here in Chicago, I know that whites on the west side of Chicago, where you got a larger concentration of blacks, blacks don't own their buildings. Whites still own those buildings. And whites go here, they come around, they got groups that come and collect their money.
Is Wendell Phillips still open?
If you don't own that shit, why should you?
On 39th Street, is Wendell Phillips still open? On 39th and Prairie, is Wendell Phillips
still open? I was over there just last week. It's still open.
How many students in the classroom at that high school?
I don't know. My business don't take me inside the school.
And that's
well,
the
I
thing
tell you
what,
if you was to go in that school, you was to go in Wendell Phillips, you would probably have anywhere from 10 to 12 students in each classroom.
But Pianchi, here, this is, again, you missed the point. What's going on outside the school, Pianchi? That ain't a real nice neighborhood. That's a rough motherfucking neighborhood.
My auntie stayed. I used to play run up and down the street there on Prairie Avenue.
That shit has changed since then, Pianchi.
Let me tell you what the best thing those ball players can do, right? is to open up a nursery. Yeah, and
who's going to maintain it? Why
are
you going to open up the Urban League? Does that?
No, the Urban League ain't
what?
Shit. But Polly, here's the thing. These entertainers, and all of them, they don't feel compelled to go ahead and deal with where they came from. Okay, so they can go. They got the means. They can go ahead and get together, but they don't feel like they're not a part of the community, so they're not gonna do nothing for the community. They don't give a shit. That's one reason they could. They were happy to go ahead and get that contract, so
they do just as much for the community as your politicians that you vote for.
No.
Politicians don't do shit.
Well, then, why would they be obligated to?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Man, stop trying to spend everybody else's money. Now, why come the black community don't vote for school choice and get rid of them teachers' unions?
Then
you could have more independent schools like Betty Shabazz, where blacks would have the money in order to pay to send their children to them.
Okay, Pierre, check this out. Blacks go ahead and voted for all these different politicians, and it's been the same shit every fucking voting cycle. You ain't getting nothing. We got your vote. Who gives a damn what you think? We're going to go ahead and bow down to the corporations.
But what I'm saying is, why come in Chicago they don't push the issue for full school choice?
Parent
would have the money that's going to the public school now. They would have the ability to redirect that money to a private black school where they could pay the upkeep and properly pay the teachers, and you can have whatever curriculum unit you want.
But they do go ahead and come to...
Why you still wasting time talking to this atheist?
You
know right, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in no gods. Which one?
I
keep asking you
this. They don't get no airtime. When blacks coming out and go ahead and protest what's going on, they don't get no airtime. They don't get
that?
No time on TV or nobody's interviewing. They ignore that. So you don't really know that. You don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on because the media only points out, only wants to go ahead and hit all those negative stories.
You see the devil, right? They're smart. The devil's smart by trying to invest in the universities because they know that most of the black youth ain't even going to get there. You understand?
Exactly.
That's why we need to start schooling our children and put more infrastructure in the nursery side of things and then the juniors and then work our way up, build from the ground up. Firstly, we get, from the kids from the ages from 2 to 5 in something so that they have that, they're all growing together and then they have more love for each other. You understand? And maybe we can stop them before they even get to that street life where we have to, we have to come with other ideas for them, get their creative juices before they get to middle school and all them way there. You see what I'm saying? That's what we have to build it from there. Because the devil, he'll put billions in our university because he knows that niggas ain't even going to reach there. He knows we ain't getting there. Because of all the devices he's got for us in our earlier life. You see what I'm saying?
That's the plan.
You see what I'm saying?
That's been part of the plan for a long time. FBI, you know damn well you can't run up 39th Street right now.
Yeah, and it makes the devil looks like he's doing something because he's putting money in black schools. But he's only putting money in the universities. These times he knows niggas ain't going to get there because he's put all these devices in front of us.
Right.
So that's why we need to build from... Go on, brother.
These black caucus, rich type, talented, tenth Negro have been a problem again. I'm going to say it again. They talk all this garbage about what black folks that don't have money should be doing. Yet, when we go to them and let's ask them to assist us, they won't because they have interest with the white folks. The white folks are in their pocket. The white folks made these Negroes. Let's just be real. These Negroes have not gotten rich in the white man's system without the white man allowing them to do so. Because if he wants to, he will destroy you quickly if you don't piss him off. So let's not act like you got there just
because. Let me tell you something. You see
maybe that's why come they don't put no money in the schools, or the white man would destroy them.
Bianchi, hear this. You see, if LeBron James was talking like this brother here just said, was talking now, they would destroy his career overnight tomorrow. He wouldn't play another game in the NBA. He would probably be playing basketball in Europe for a quarter of what he's earning right now.
Well, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he want to sacrifice his future for that?
Who? I'm just trying to say that's how bad it is. It's not just about that. It's not even about talent. It's what you're saying and your mindset. And if they know that you're about your people, they're gonna kick you out of the game. So I'm trying to say that these Negroes need to come with a solid. Like they should have started their. They should have boycotted. They should have stopped playing basketball. Are you trying to tell me them niggas ain't got enough money between them that they can retire tomorrow? Is that what you're telling
man,
me?
Look,
they can't retire tomorrow.
Why would they cut their career like that?
Hold on, Bianchi. The problem is this: niggas have disassociated themselves, separated themselves from what's going on, from reality, from where they come from. That's the bigger problem. These cats can go ahead and do a whole lot of stuff, but they rather go ahead and keep themselves where they at because they're comfortable and safe.
You see what happened to Bias. You saw what happened to Bias. You saw what happened to Bias when he went back to the hood. Didn't y'all have a star potential basketball player that went back to the hood and got killed in Chicago?
I'm not sure. What's his name? Curry. His woman got killed here. Eddie
now
Curry.
Another thing, Rob. The Chicago White Sox and the Cubs spend a lot of money with those RBI teams. Some of them came. Both of them came down here to St. Louis, and those were some excellent players. They came down here in style. Stayed in
one thing about
the
baseball
big hotels.
One thing about baseball is that there was a report came out a few years ago that it's a dying sport. So
baseball's a dying sport?
Pretty much forced.
The Cardinals there had 42,000 sitting in the stands at a game that started at 1 p.m.
Okay, so you got 42,000 sitting in the stands.
Matter of fact, it was your team that came down here, the Chicago Cubs. My season passed. Hang on, real quick. My season pass is good for any game except for one with the Chicago Cubs. Because they always sold out. Go ahead.
The amount of people that's participating and being actual players, that is decreasing, Bianchi. Look that up. That's why they go ahead and they come out and do little stuff in the neighborhood. Because they're trying to go ahead and bring back that interest in the game, and that's what they're losing out on. That.
Well, the game, there's interest in the game. What they're trying to do is get more African Americans involved in the game.
Them niggas, listen, man. Them niggas have enough money to play for free for the rest of their life, man. Well,
ain't nobody gonna play free, Sabrina. You crazy?
I'm saying they could if they really wanted to and play on the court. They should have said boycotted that and just play on the streets for the black people, them on the streets.
And
the,
then what are you going to gain out of that? What do you gain out of that?
It would have made a good, solid stand. They should have said, listen, I want you to fix up the whole system or we ain't playing again.
Ain't nothing wrong with the system. It's one of the most profitable organizations that ever exists. Where else are you going to gain 25% on your investment a year?
They should have done with that. They should have done with the whole. Let me tell you something. Every black man should stop playing sport altogether. Lock it all off.
All right.
And tell them what's on
right. Including the college. Including those in college too, huh?
Including the ones in college. Every black man should have stopped playing basketball. Should have boycotted basketball. They're not coming out with that. They're gonna have to go. They only. This is why the devil's wicked as well. He lets them youths there in the universities based on the fact that they're good at sports. But if a youth genuinely said, "Well, I just want a second chance at my education. Please let me come there for give me a free scholarship so I can study for free." Or a man who went jail and he's showing that he wants to make a change. I just want to rehabilitate myself. I just want to have a chance so I can get a normal job like everybody else. could you give me a free scholarship?
So all those, all those kids that's going to college.
Hold on, a youth that wants to beat pussy, take drugs, yeah, and but he's good at basketball. They'll let him in.
Before you go too far, Supreme, let me ask you a question. Now, you say all black children should stop playing sports. Is that what you're saying?
We should stop playing sports.
And what should we replace it with? What should they replace it with?
Trades. We should be trying to do trades.
All right. Trades. What kind of trades?
Building. Like
buildings,
smiths, you know, like
blacksmiths. They're not old blacksmiths no more.
Metals and stuff like that. You know, welders, engineers. We should be trying to do trades, carpentry.
They don't use they don't use welders no more like they use. They got robots to take their place.
They do. You know what? Construction is a booming business, and rarely do you see blacks really get put in that. So, yeah, I think that's good. They do need to teach them trades, you know, because you can go past a construction site and you see maybe one, maybe two black men.
That's right.
Well,
we need to build.
The construction trade unions have their own apprenticeship class. So, yeah, we should get more blacks in the trade unions.
Forget about
nobody make money.
Forget about the devil's sciences. Forget about all everything. We should just be trying to do trades, trades.
And we should give up. And they should give up. They should give up professional sports.
And our sisters should be doing.
What has professional sports gotten the black community?
How many dollars? You mean how many dollars in long term pensions are derived out of?
The pension for
my iron workers is nowhere near like that of a basketball player.
Was it done for the black community, brother?
Somebody answer that.
What the sister said. She said, what is us doing sports done for the black community?
What has sports done for the black community? What has done for black athletes, you mean?
Okay, what has it done for black athletes? Okay,
it's done a lot of things. Look what they derived from it.
What did they derive from it? To be broke?
No. Well, if they broke, then why are you wanting them to get involved in the other thing that's going to make them broker?
That's not going to make them broker. The problem is that they don't know how to handle. The problem is they're not financially literate. They don't know how to handle.
So if they were to take their money and give them. If they were to take their money and invest it in what Supreme is talking about, what type of rate of return are we talking about here?
We're talking a big rate.
Okay, if you take young black men and you give them, you know, a trade in construction, and they do that, at least you will be able to compete for contracts, okay? You might get in the game. Being that a lot of times they have to give so many jobs to blacks or whatever, I mean, they would get in the game. They would get some money doing that. It's construction jobs all the time.
Yeah, but what have athletes got to do with that?
Look, brother, I'm saying, the black man.
They already got programs. They already have construction intake programs to take people.
No, they don't. Not on a wide level.
Well, they do here. They got charter schools. That's construction training charter schools where kids can go to the schools free and become acclimated and whatever.
Black
trade they want, carpentry, welding, so on and so on.
You're not going to convince. Listen to me. Everything you all are making, all the points that you're making, sister, and the points that you're making, brother, from another mother across the waters, the points that you're making, brother Chef Rob, is not going to benefit, or not going to help this guy. Because this guy's mind is set on his money. Every time they give him a logical answer about the pains that we people that don't have all this money suffer, he got some other shit to say. And that's how white folks do. This is the mind of a white man. I don't care how dark or whatever his color is, he got the mind of a cracker. And that's just what it is. You can talk to him with logic all day, and it ain't going to matter because he's one of them talented.
But that's just it. It ain't logic.
Step up by your full streets.
Why don't you talk to me? Let me hear what your plan is.
I'm going to tell you right now. This is the reality.
What's your plan?
Black folks, I'm going to tell you right now. This is the reality.
And please don't say black folks in general.
Let me tell you, if you listen, you talk a whole lot. Let me talk for a second. Look, it's like,
go ahead.
Our people wouldn't have to ask this European for nothing right now if these crackers had now stole the patents of our great-great-grandfathers and great-great-grandmothers. They built everything on this damn planet, damn near, especially the United States of America. We got a long list of patents that our people stuff invented. And these crackers took every damn patent, and now they're telling us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps like Negroes like you are. They took all the damn patents. They stole all everything. They're benefiting right now of what our ancestors created.
Now, hold it right there. Hold it right there. I'm going to let you go on, but let me address that because I don't want to get lost in the rest of the things you're going to come with. You as an American citizen have access to every patent there is, and you can do whatever you need to do with it in order to benefit yourself. Go on.
We are not citizens, again. Oh,
wait a minute. Whoa. We are not citizens. We are not citizens. Well, if we are not citizens, wait a minute. If we are not citizens, then what patterns are you talking about?
But we don't need to be no citizen
to create something, man. What are you talking about? You have education.
No,
really?
You said that the white man took every patent that the black man did what? Created? So how is it that a non-U.S. citizen going to file a U.S. patent?
Sir, my point is the invention was made.
Let's stick on that particular logic that you threw out there. Explain that to me.
If you shut your mouth.
All right, I'm listening.
Thank you. The patent is something. Listen, we created the stuff. Before a white man ever had a patent, we were creating. We built civilization before the cracker ever had a goddamn patent. He said we had to have a patent. We created it before that. He made that so he could take it from us in the first damn place. Sir, what are you talking about? Do you really have education like you think you do?
Understand that you are a United States citizen? You have access to every patent that there is? Then you say we're not citizens.
Wait a minute, let me get this real quick.
I'm going to let you go. If we're not citizens, why would a rich athlete want to give his money to something that really don't have no legitimacy here? Because they're talking about getting rid of immigrants all the time. Go ahead, sister.
Okay. This is what I want to say. I wanted to first answer your question earlier. You were talking about, what is it that you want rich people to do with their money? Okay. Well, for rich black people, wealthy black people, I don't think it's about them just giving their money to people. It's not about that, but it's about investing in your community. That's what I'm talking about. People need opportunities. These kids out here who want to go to college and are educated and want to be more educated but don't have the money, why not help them? See, that's the thing. No, we need, a hand up and not a hand out or whatever they call it. And that's what they need to be doing. But yet, everybody's like, well, I wouldn't invest in the hood either. I mean, what kind of mindset is that to have about your own people? And the sad part about it is many of these people came from the hood. Now, they was once that little black boy or girl who was in the hood that had aspirations. So how can you not believe that there are not more of them there? You know not everybody is a criminal and crook in the hood. But yet you want to portray that image that it is because now you're wealthy. So you don't care anymore. So that's a problem for us. That's a big, big problem for us because, you know, there's a lot of doors that we cannot get through. But other people who have done that, if they could help, it would be a big boost. I mean, you look at white people and other races, they have nepotism all the time. Okay, they get their family members on, their kids, the people from their community, or they get them in wherever they need to go. They support them. Even when they distance, you know, themselves, they will still set that person up or set that community up. We don't do it. So I think we need wealthy black people to invest. And if they do not invest, we need to stop supporting them because
they got
to that level by people supporting them. Most of the time, most of the time, once you get black people on your bandwagon, the white people will follow what we do.
That's
what happens.
Let me ask you something. Where is black folks supporting National Football League teams and National Basketball Association teams.
Brother, we buy Jordans. We buy the Jordans.
Jordan money does not the Jordan money is the
what
is the company that makes the shoes. What does the basketball team got to do with Jordans?
So now
what are you talking
about
the NBA and NFL?
Goes all over basketball teams.
Who pays the majority of for the ticket money for those games? It's not
mean?
Black people. Blacks
mean?
Are not attending those
mean?
Games.
But what does that
in
mean?
In numbers. So
Black
how do you say that we need to stop supporting them?
Look, this is how it goes.
No, please tell me. When I go to the St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, there's very few. I mean, it's hard to find blacks sitting in the crowd.
And so
when I go to the
Billiken
basketball game, that's hard to find blacks sitting in the crowd. So how
are
you going to say blacks are supporting these teams?
Or give back to the black community?
How are blacks supporting? Mm-hmm. You say we should stop supporting them. Supporting them, what do you mean? I don't understand.
But that goes beyond that, okay?
Money.
We still watch. That gives ratings. Hold on. That gives ratings. There's many black people who go to games and support sports teams, okay? We do that all the time. But when I say support them, we need to cut the ties. We need to break away. If people are not going to help us, we don't need to uphold them. I'm sorry. That's the bottom line.
You got a point there. You got a good point there.
Money,
best way... If you're not satisfied the way things are working, boycott them.
If you look at the music industry, now that's something totally different. You know, again, not to bring
white
them up,
folks buy the most of the rap music. Go ahead.
Well, wait a minute. Yes, they do. Wait a minute, though. Like with Dr. Dre, what made him become famous to the point where he's at? Talking about Compton, talking about the hood, the black folk in the hood. Who went out and supported him, bought his music, went to his shows, and then the white folk caught on to him, okay? But if it was not for the hood, he would never be where he's at now, about to be a billionaire. He would not. He would not. I will tell you that now. He would not. But yet,
well, I agree with you with him. I don't know why he gave that money.
Folks?
Where did he get the money to? USC or UCLA?
To USC.
Jimmy
USC.
Yeah.
Jimmy
I wouldn't
Levine.
Have gave the money
Let
to
me say
USC.
Something real quick. See, just what she just said was my whole point. Black folks, they're not going to go ahead and help change. These black entertainers are not going to go help change the situation here because they profit off them. And they're going to go ahead, and it's crazy how they continue to profit off things. It's like they want things to stay the way it is. If things stay the way it is, they can go ahead and profit and make new entertainers. And people go ahead and use those experiences to go ahead and make money. Ain't nobody going to come back and go ahead and do nothing for the hood because it's profitable to keep that folks poor.
It certainly is. Oh, it's so profitable. And, you know, what's so sad, again, is he talked about Jordans and buying jerseys. Black men do that, too. I mean, buying the hats with the logo. I mean, we do a lot of things to put money into these athletes' pockets. And we get nothing in return. And that, to me, is just ridiculous. I mean, again, we don't look at other races to see what they're doing right. And I understand, you know, we come from a totally different situation. But we still don't look to the economic things to help us. But yet we stay stuck in the same position and talking about that same money. I mean, I hate that. I'm sorry. I hate that when black people say that. I hate it.
Well, you know, the same thing can be said about blacks going to church, putting money in the basket on hope that they don't go to heaven or Jesus coming back.
That's true. That's true. Oh, yeah. You will get in a fight, a knockdown, drag out fight.
They've been putting money
folks.
In the basket hoping for Jesus to come back forever.
Check
this out right
He's
quick.
He's still coming, though.
Something I just saw, I want to hit y'all with this right quick, since we're talking about sports. You know Michael Sam, right? The football player that's all over the news, like coming out as a fan or whatever with the white boy.
Right.
Now, they just gave this clown a reality show. Guess who's putting it together? Guess who?
Oprah.
Thank you. Oprah, Black Oprah, is putting it together, and Lindsay Lohan is in it as well. This is getting on a reality show. Now, tell me, see how they set that up? They use this Negro to set up this homosexual BS with black men through the white media, and they use Oprah.
Wow.
Miss Billionaire Oprah. So they did a goddamn thing for us blacks on the
Ever.
Bible. So one of the top 10% Negro hobos in the goddamn universe.
Wow.
Oprah.
You
right
know what?
Her studio is right down the street from where I used to live, over there in Old Town.
Well, you guys need
Old
to go
Town,
down there and pick at her
house,
studio then.
Green. She ain't even there no more. And
what do you mean, you guys?
Y'all in Chicago.
Oh, okay. I'm not, but
Rob is in Chicago.
You know that. She just trying to be funny. Now, what you got to say about that, Beyonce? What do you got to say about that? They got money.
Well, I'm
going to
tell you about Michael Sam. See, why they were building up Michael Sam, he came from University of Missouri,
mm-hmm.
Columbia, which is about 100-some-odd miles from me. And they had an incident there where a black athlete, I think she was a black athlete, but she's a black woman, got raped, and they end up finding her body in the swimming pool. Now, I don't know if she committed suicide or what, but Michael Sam took the attention off of her.
Okay.
And now you got him in the news about the time that he came out after the season was over.
I didn't know Oprah
done a reality show with Sweetie Pies, which is a black woman's restaurant here in St. Louis.
Right. And what
increase
about
her business.
That's great, but what about the other multiple white shows that she's done that's increased white people's business?
Well, I don't
the
know what
go on and on
well,
and on.
I don't know what she's doing elsewhere, but I knew what she did here.
So you said her promoting this fag show, that's okay? Her to promote a
no,
black
well,
fag
yeah,
show,
homosexuality is legal in the United States,
okay,
and they have a very large following. That is, well, your president, did you vote? Wait a minute. Did y'all vote for Obama?
Man,
I did on his first term.
Well, Obama came out and called Sam and congratulated him.
Yes, he did.
Okay,
yes,
wait.
Yeah.
So what about
Obama?
A long time ago.
Huh?
What you say?
What does that have to do with my vote?
What does it have to do with your vote? He
if
wants you to come out and vote this November. Is he not asking you?
Wait a minute.
Is he not asking you to come out and vote this November? And see, don't black folks come out and vote this?
I voted for Obama. Obama ain't running again.
He's asking you to come out and give him the support so he can maintain what they have in the Senate. If you don't come out and vote for them senators, then the Senate will go Republican. Now, what kind of opposition to what he done is you going to show?
But, you know, that's the thing. That's all BS. I'm sorry. I mean, what they going to do, they going to do. I personally don't, you know, really invest in voting and all that anymore as I used to. I mean, I did vote for Obama in his first term, you know. But second, no. Absolutely.
And Oprah
not.
Supported yes. Obama monetarily.
She did. She did. She helped him get in office that first
so
time.
She can't start a reality show with Michael Sam? Come on
but
now. She can't
but
start a reality show with Michael Sam?
She shouldn't, no. But we
why
know
come
that
she
she's
should?
We know she's a sellout.
Yeah,
so,
but,
you know, what else
we
expect?
Don't need to. You see, this
you
is,
got,
this is feminizing
man, y'all,
the black man.
Listen to what
look
you're saying. Listen
man,
to what you're saying.
That man is. Look how big and bold that man is, man.
He is an atheist that supports fags. He just said he supports fag shit. He supports faggots. This man is against nature. I don't give a damn what
he's
fucking with. He's clown, fucking clown.
No, you just can't. You just can't debate the issues, and you're getting all irritated. Debate the issue. Tell me why come Oprah should not do a wait a minute. Tell me why come Oprah should not do a reality show with Michael Sam to increase her wealth when she supported Obama. Obama, wait a minute. Obama who's dropping drones, killing innocent people at weddings and so forth that y'all voted for not only once but twice.
Hold on, I'll tell you. She should not do that. Because if she was a black woman who cared about her people, about her community, she would see that homosexuality is being used as a weapon against us. she would see that they're trying to emasculate black men as much as possible. And she would not want to participate in putting a black man who is a puppet, who is a pawn, who is, you know, somebody that's being used by these gay organizations. She would not want to put him on a show. She would want to put on a strong black man who's masculine, who's doing something positive and showing a different side. That's what she would do if she cared about our people, but she doesn't.
Well, you know, athletes go out and marry white women, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Because, again, they buy into that whole white is right type of thing. And when
you all complain about white women. Y'all complain about white women taking your black males. And now you got white men taking your black males, too, in the instance with Michael Sam.
Absolutely.
And then you say
that
black men go out and marry white women, and you got Michael Sam go out and find him a white homosexual partner rather than finding a black one.
That's even worse. That kills it.
Absolutely.
That makes it even worse.
And, you know, I get that recent video I did, all of these black men are going off on me because of what I said about that, about interracial dating, you know. And to me, I'm sorry. I feel as though when you do that, you are turning your back on your race. And they say all kind of things to me.
Well, what is the white person doing?
I don't care what the white person is doing. I'm not white, so my concern is not with them.
Yeah, but that's
you know what I mean?
Thing, though,
my concern is not with
them. Hear what I'm going to say to you. What we got to understand, brother, right, is that when you got the black homosexual, he needs white supremacy to keep on running. Let me tell you why, because they're the only...
No, he don't need white supremacy. He needs to be around you.
Hold on, brother, hold on. The devil is the only race on the planet that okays that shit.
Yeah.
Ain't no race, not even the dirty Arab, permits that homosexuality.
I agree with you there.
So when you deal with hope, when you're a black man, any race of people on this planet, and you're dealing with homosexuality, you need that devil to stay in power, because they're the only race of people who are going to tolerate that type of behavior. So you siding, you going that way no matter what.
Are you going to vocally tell a homosexual that you don't want to associate with him?
No. That's my main problem with a homosexual.
Well, then that's what you should do. You should tell them that you don't want to associate with him, and you don't want them teaching your children.
Hold on, brother. I ain't got.
That's the least you can do,
brother.
Go ahead, Supreme. I can hear you.
Hold on, brother. I ain't got no problem with the homosexual, because that means.
Wait a minute. Hang on. You mean you don't have no problem with the homosexual?
That means there's more women for me. But what I'm trying to say to you, though, brother, is my main problem with the homosexual is the simple fact that you need that devil to stay in power. You don't want that devil to go, because there ain't no race on this planet.
Yeah, but Supreme, how about the women that's having sex with down low brothers, and you going to come behind them?
Ain't no righteous people on this planet.
It took a while for that to settle in, didn't it?
The empire going to accept homosexuality because it's against nature.
What about the homosexual male that's having sex with the woman, and you going to come behind him?
Yeah.
Would you have anything to do with a woman that had something to do with a homosexual?
What can I
do? That's the real thing. That's the real thing.
If I liked a sister,
Supreme, would you have anything to do with a woman, a black woman, who was normally with a homosexual man?
If I liked her, no, I'm
still.
See, now you're contradicting yourself, brother.
Like, you know, like, brother, women, you know.
You
like,
compromise.
No. Hear what I'm saying.
Yes,
to you
are, too. You're going to have something to do intimate with a black woman that's who normally had relationship with a homosexual. Is she not just as filthy as you said the Arab was?
I'm going to be real with you. I'm saying to you, my biggest, the only thing that can really prize me away in life is pussy. That's always been my biggest weakness. So I'm not going to deny it. If I like the woman enough, I'm going to beat it.
Even though she's been with a homosexual?
In the past, yeah, but she ain't beating
even though she's still with a homosexual.
For me.
And what did that make you?
What if I mess with a woman? I don't eat pussy.
What does it make you? You having sex with a woman who's at the same time having sex with a homosexual?
A woman can't deal with another man while she's dealing with me. I'm not having that.
How do you know?
Ain't no woman.
Huh?
That's what I'm saying. How would you know that your wife's cheating? How the hell are you gonna know? That's what I'm trying to say. I wouldn't.
I
know
asked you. Well, I'm not. That's okay. We let it go like that. You respond enough.
Hold on. See, when I deal with a woman, Yankee.
Wow.
I don't ask her about her previous relationship. I don't ask her about her ex-men too much.
You mean to tell me you don't do no research in the background of the person that you messing with?
I do research. My research is done without her knowing. I do my own research. I don't ask her. I don't take in nothing that she's telling me. I go and do my research that she don't know. I'll go and ask people around. She ain't going to know when I'm doing background checks on her. I ain't going to go with what she can't
all right,
tell
then.
Me with whatever she tells me. And she could be crazy or something. I'm going to do my own field research. But she ain't going to know. I'm not going to do nothing that she says to me.
Okay, Supreme.
Has dealt with a homosexual for me, so the fuck, well, I don't give a shit. She's my woman now, I don't care.
All right, Supreme.
She ain't got no diseases.
That's
funny.
A real...
If I found out...
How you know what she don't have? What's lingering around?
Found out that she's done that, she told me that, I'd say, have you had a checkup? If I see the thing and she's clear, I'm going to beat it up.
How you know what's not lingering around, Supreme?
Man, brother, you wouldn't even know even if let's be serious though, brother.
No, we ain't talking about me. We're talking about you.
Might have been with a download, brother, before me.
You've been with a download.
I said she might have been with a download, brother, before me, and she didn't even know. She may not even have known. So what the fuck?
How you know she? All right, well look. All right, I'm gonna leave it like that. I want to haul Rob's show.
Wait, Tianqi. Most of the time, the women don't know. And when they do find out, I would hope that they done with them. So I don't know too many black women, especially who's going to mess with a gay man or a bisexual man, knowingly do that. I just don't. I mean, I can't see that. I mean, I guess some if she's really desperate or something, but no, I can't see that. Most of them, that's the whole thing. They want to keep it, you know what I'm saying, as low as they can because black women, you know, are not going to take that. They're not going to.
And that's very dangerous for a woman, too. Very, very
dangerous. And then you have to consider the fact that these men are sitting up here having sex most of the time without condoms. I mean, that's the whole thing about it because they could never get a man pregnant. So... even though this is feces and all of this other kind of stuff, these men are so whatever, turned on by this or into it, that they're willing to risk, you know, doing something without a condom, and then they go back and have sex with a woman. And the thing about all of that stuff is a lot of that feces and infection and all that is, you know, microscopic. You can't see it. So you think you're clean or there's nothing or whatever, you know, I don't want to get graphic, but... And then you go back and you mess with the woman, and then she's sick. And it's like a lot of stories that have happened like that. And I, I came across a lot of stories of women, black women, who were married to black men. And here they turn up with HIV. And they haven't messed with anyone but their husband. Where did that come from? And their husband was out there messing with men. And it comes back.
I was just saying, I wouldn't just jump into bed with the woman she told me her man was. I wanted to have a checkout because I know that she could have AIDS or HIV in any way there. Once she get that checked and that's sorted and I still want to mash it up, if I decide I still want to deal with her, listen, if a woman look good, she look good, innit? But that's how I stay in it. Oh, watching what she used to do in her past. That's her past, brother. The past is the past. As long as she can deal with me, she ain't going to go sleeping around. I'm cool with that. As long as the woman, she don't mess around like that with me, then we're cool. That's
the other thing is, a lot of these women I'm trying to tell them, number one, do not deal with these guys who are too buff and muscular and six-packed out and all that. Don't mess with them. Them dudes be gay as the day is long. They, all of that is a front. That's a facade to look masculine and big and bulky because they know on the inside they full of sugar. So they try to put that, you know, they try to put that out there for people to believe. But the other thing black women need to stop doing is they need to stop messing with these men coming out of prison, okay? If a man has done prison time, especially if he's done over 6 months in prison, you need to run the other way. And I understand that I turn my life around. Wait a minute, I turn my life around, I this, I that. Huh?
You're saying 6 months in jail. Is that how quick they can get into that shit in America? Wow.
I don't know.
I know that
I
America
know.
Is real jail, though. I know America is real jail.
Yeah, but
everyone knows
I don't know.
America's
but I just feel like that's anything over that, to me, I feel like that's a danger zone. And, you know, men, I've asked so many dudes that came out of prison. I've tried to get them to tell me about things that happened. They won't tell me. And when they do, they put it on somebody else. Like, they'll say, oh, well, this one guy, he did this, that, and the other. But me, I don't play that stuff. And I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? We know, especially when you're in there for some years, some things go down in there. And, I mean, you know, but the men are not going to come out and tell women what they've been doing while they've been in there. And they've been getting into that because when you become institutionalized, then you can rationalize in your mind having sex with men in prison, because then that's how you see things, you know, and you accept that. You're okay with it. Then you get out, you get on the street, then you want to act like you tough and you hard and you want to go back to women and, I don't play that with them fags and all that kind of stuff. But then next thing you know, he's getting that itch like, and here he goes messing with some other trannies or fags or whatever. And coming back to a woman. So it's all kind of just, you don't
I know
even
the epidemic
deal with
bad in America, boy. I know the epidemic's bad in America, boy, and especially
well,
in the jail.
Well, I tell you what, if you got a young a young son, you better pull him over and talk to him very, very well.
With the other brother,
oh, yeah.
brother Chef, do you agree with that? 6 months in jail, is that how long it takes for a black man to go into that? Is that how long it takes to get raped to go into them thing there? 6 months, you know. This is the
it don't take 6 months. They can go ahead and take it in an hour. It depends on the situation.
Right. Yeah, I would not.
Hell?
I would not in no way, shape, or form. I would run. Absolutely not. Because, I'm just not going to put my life.
If a man's done 3 years, most likely mm-hmm. you think he's done some sort of batty man thing. I mean, homosexuality in jail.
You know what? I couldn't say for sure, but I'm not willing to risk that. You know what
wow.
I'm saying? He could tell me.
So a man
oh,
coming
no.
out of prison. They have a difficult time finding a job, can't vote, and the way it sounds, you're going to have a difficult time finding a woman.
Yeah.
Sure, you did.
Not me, anyway. I mean, some women might go for that, but not me. I wouldn't. No.
You would advise against it, boy. They might be done. They might
and that's a shame, too. That's the dilemma.
Right?
That's the dilemma that black women, African-American women, find themselves in today.
Absolutely.
And damn if they do, and damn if they don't.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And things have gotten so far completely out of whack that to see it coming back to where it's supposed to be in the foreseeable future, it just don't exist.
Yeah, but mm-mm. Sister, what about the checkup? Say he has a checkup.
What about
and
a
checkup? He's clean. He ain't got no diseases, nothing like that. Because I'm just saying this a bit harsh. Because, you know, a brother could have held it down in jail and he might have said, no, ain't no man fucking him. And then you saying, well, you know. Because if the women took that suit and a lot of black men go to jail, we're filling up most, majority of us in jail.
Well, she always
going
to have her thoughts in the back of her mind.
Right, yes. And that's women. Because if you know, like, your man has been in prison or something, and every woman is going to ask, every single black woman will ask, hey, what happened, you know, and I'm pretty sure 99% of them men say, no, 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 you know. But what does that really mean? You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't tell me if it did happen. So how could I believe that? And if he gets the checkup or whatever, I mean, that's fine, but that doesn't account for the future, what he might want to go back into that he's already done. So, no, I can't do that. I cannot risk myself and my life like that because I'm one of these people, if I found something like that out and you put my life in danger and you messing with some other man's behind, wow, I don't even know. That's all I can say because I find that just beyond, you know, I can't tell you.
No matter what you do after you get that orgasm and you start coming back to your senses, you're going to throw him on the floor to get up from under there.
Oh, that's my God.
Hurry up and get from under there. Be running and jumping in the bathtub.
And then
that causes complications, too, because you're going to try to clean yourself as thoroughly as possible. Then you start to cause biological harm to yourself.
Right. Yeah.
It's a dilemma. No. What are we going to do with that dilemma?
But see, women are accepting these dudes back. Okay, some of them are baby daddies and all that kind of stuff. And then you have some women who have low self-esteem, and these guys come out of prison and everything, and they tell them, oh, I love you, and I this, I that, you know. And they let them move in, you know. They might have kids, have them around their kids. They haven't, you know, sex with him unprotected, everything. And that's how these women get caught up in these situations where they get HIV and all this other stuff because they're being just stupid. I mean, you need to leave that alone. And I know one friend, he's a friend of my family, and he was in jail or he was in prison for a year. And he said that while he was in, of course, he said he did not do anything. But he said that while he was in there, like, you know, the really, really tough guys or whatever, they would be the main ones messing around with the, like, little transgender gay boys that's in there. And he said at night when it's lights out, you can hear all kind of stuff going on. And I'm like, ugh. And he said when he got out a while after, maybe a couple of years, one day he was walking, somebody pulled up on him. And he was like, looking like, who's that? And it was a guy from prison. And one of them was that was messing around. And here he got the baby mama in the car and the baby in the car, the other child in the car. And he's like, hey, man, blah, blah, blah. He's like, wow. And you know, he said that's what they do. And I see them all the time around, different dudes that I've seen in prison, and they always with a woman. I'm like, he said, I feel so bad for the women. I want to tell them, hey, you know what he was doing, but I'm like, you should. You should tell them.
Why you didn't get a bullet? Oh, man.
I just couldn't do it.
The British jail culture, I mean, you got the youths wanting to go to jail. It's too easy out here. Jail's easy out here, you know what I'm saying? Like, ain't none of them. It ain't that ain't rampant. If you choose to, if you want to do them stuff, you better.
Yeah.
They got wings for those people. Yeah, they'll put you in a gay wing.
Somebody got mad at me because now this is what this correctional officer said. Okay, he worked in a state prison for like a couple decades, for a long time, and he said that of all the men that are in prison, he would say that 75 to 100% of black men who come into prison and do, you know, at least a year or whatever, that they engage in some type of gay sexual exchange or something while they're in prison. He said more than any other race. He
sees it amongst black men. The devil must be putting some food. No, I think that's a lie. I think they must be putting something in the foods as well.
But see, I
don't know.
That
they should be putting things in the food, yeah, to make, you know, to lower the testosterone.
Right.
You know.
But see, California's trying to get now
places
to have condoms in prison. And I think that's a terrible thing. I think it's a terrible
condoms
thing.
In prison now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're trying to get condoms.
God.
And I think that they should have conjugal visits. The ones who are married, you have to be married. But the ones who are married, let them have conjugal visits, like even once a month or whatever period of time. And I just think it's wrong because I know they did crimes and everything, but when you put all these men together for years, it's a lot of pressure, it's a lot of pain, it's a lot of anguish and all of that stuff. And you have people preying on other people. And then you have men, their whole attitude and everything adapts to that situation. And
they shouldn't be allowed to have something to look forward to.
Huh?
But that's how you know that the devil's wicked. Because he will let a man have sex with another man in there, but he won't let a man have sex with a woman.
Right.
He knows
right.
he's going to end up banging.
Well,
bottom.
Some states allow and some don't.
Yeah.
Illinois allow.
It's like a very few that still do it.
He knows that the man's going to end up wanting to bang bottom if he's doing life sentence, yeah?
Right.
But give him a woman. He could have just given him a woman, but he let you bang the man all day long. But he don't
right.
even rape the man in your cell. He will let you do that, get away with that. You're doing life anyway. But he won't even let you bring in your wife and
well,
you
know, the only thing I can recommend is don't get yourself
now,
all I'm saying,
if you're in there and it's a punishment, you shouldn't get no sex. None.
Right.
They should break
right. But we have to be realistic though.
That should be getting broken up.
But we have to be realistic because then that becomes a public health concern. Because most of the men in prison are gonna be out at some point. Most of them are not gonna be in there for life. So these men are going to be doing short sentences at a time or whatever, some longer, and they're going to eventually be back on the street. And with the United States, we have how many, 2 million people or something like that in prison? I mean, I think we're the highest or something. With that many people in prison, that becomes a public health concern. So I think it's in the best interest of the public if you do at least allow men who are married. And then, too, you know, if you look at it, that's really encouraging marriage. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a good thing, but it is encouraging marriage. So if you have all these people incarcerated, you know, give them a chance to have sex every 2 months, whatever it is, whatever
well,
they agree on.
It's probably going to be with a girlfriend because most of them are not married.
But that's
no,
what
it
I'm
should
saying.
Be.
And ain't no wife going to be doing
it
that for no 20, 30 years. A woman's not going to. That is some dedication there.
Ain't it, though? Ain't
if
it?
The woman, if the woman can go back there, come back in the cell, and let the man have some sex and then wait there, you know what I'm saying? No children, but, you know, they can have conjugal visits. If they're going to let, because they should be banning the homosexuality in there then. Really,
right.
I mean, if they were ethical people, but we're not
yeah,
dealing with,
can't
we're dealing
do that.
With the devil here.
I don't
we're
know.
Dealing
I've
with
never
the devil
been to
here.
Prison.
They're not going to do it like, they're not going to do it how it should be done. Because I'm saying man's in there for punishment, innit? He shouldn't be able to
right.
get no sex, man or female, whatever his preference.
But
and I'm saying
know,
how wicked it is. Look how wicked it is that they can't even have sex with their women out. They are, you know, they're women,
yeah.
but they let them have sex in the cell and get raped.
Right.
They let them think they're
gone. When you put condoms in there, to me, that's advocating. That's like making
that's
it okay.
Advocating. Cool.
Yeah, you know
that's
what I'm
cool.
saying. And if somebody's gonna rape somebody
okay.
or whatever, they're not gonna get a condom. And then most of those guys, like I said, they want to do it raw. They want to do it like that for other men. Like, they're not just going to go run and get a condom, and they know they're doing something they shouldn't be doing anyway. I mean, because then they really have to think about it. If you got to go get a condom and all that, you really got to think about what you're doing. And I would think, as a woman, that would play on your manhood to a certain level, because you're not just doing it like, you know, on impulse. You're actually thinking about it and planning it out and stuff. So I don't know.
You know what's gonna happen when they put when they lock up niggas in a cell, they're gonna be giving and a couple niggas in a new cell. They're gonna throw in a couple condoms in here. It may not even be in the men's mind until they've thrown the condoms down. And then two, they're thinking, boy, we're both doing life. Boom, boom, boom. What the fuck? This devil's wicked, man. Oh, God.
He is.
The white man's a devil, Pianki. Never you forget that. Never you forget that, bro. No matter how much money you got, never forget that that white man's a goddamn devil. And he proves it every damn day, man. Every damn day.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I can't do it.
All right, everybody. It's been great. We don't have that much time left. I appreciate everybody for coming out. Brother Dawa.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I was looking for your call. You back in Chicago soon?
I was supposed to have came this week, but I didn't get a chance to make it. But I'll be there. I got a show Tuesday. So I will be in the city Tuesday early. So
okay. What time is your show over there?
My show is at 9 p.m. live.
Okay. You know what, man? Tuesday, you know, I'm going to see what I can do, hook it up, see if we can do this broadcast almost with your show. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Brother Pianki.
Yeah.
I'm glad you showed up. You brought another perspective to what's going on. You know, got us going here and going a little bit. I think people just kind of misunderstand you. I know you mean good. Your heart's in a good place.
Aww.
Yeah, this critical thinking is difficult to swallow sometimes.
Look, I leave it for you. What's your next project? Renee?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on about. You were talking to me. Oh, I don't know. I don't know, but I will be on a show this Tuesday coming up. Oh, I need to get with you though too, because I need to find out some things from you, like how your schedule is. But no, I mean right now, I don't have anything planned in the works or anything.